This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
The Woodpeckers have started the homestand strong, a 9-0 shutout win on the opener against the Fred Nats Tuesday night. They try and carry that momentum into Wednesday. It's dog night, dollar dog night at downtown Fayetteville, game 2 of 6 between your Woodpeckers and the Fredericksburg Nationals. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth at Segra Stadium. It is great to be with you once again live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. And MILB.TV. I'm Andrew Chapman. To my left is Colin Casey, and we are pleased to be with you again for game 2 of 6 between Fayetteville and Fredericksburg. What a start it was yesterday. We thought we may be in for a slugfest with these two teams, top home run hitters in the Carolina League, but it was a slugfest just on one side of things, Colin. 3 home runs for Fayetteville, and then the pitching on the other side kept the Fred Nats to a big old goose egg. What a well-rounded effort. It was the 20th win for Fayetteville and arguably one of their most dominant this year.
No question about it, Chap. It was a complete effort from everyone in the lineup, 1 through 9. It seemed like everyone had it going at the plate. The 3 home runs, of course, all coming with guys on base, which is great to see those extra base hits coming with runners on the base path. So A really strong start. The first time that Fayetteville's won an opener at home this season, which is great to see as well. And as you mentioned, the pitching was outstanding as well. Coming out of the bullpen, Brett Koba finished the game with 4 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts, his best performance of the year. Edinson Batista started the game, giving up just the 1 hit, struck out 5 batters through 4 2/3. So you got to like everything you're seeing, and not to mention no errors committed by the top defense in the Carolina League. Fayetteville Woodpeckers currently own that. So they're playing complete baseball. Great to take that momentum after a May where they definitely improved after a really shaky April. Now the month of June starts. We'll see if the Woodpeckers can keep that momentum up.
Yep, you had Corona, as you mentioned, his 8th home run of the year. Logan Cerny went deep for a 6th time. Yuris Ramirez hit his 4th of the year off the center field batter's eye. We'll see if the power continues today in Fayetteville. It is another hot one. We're still at 95 degrees, shaping up to be one of the warmest first pitch start times of 2022. We're behind Memorial Day, and it's starting to feel a whole lot like summer in downtown Fayetteville. Fun pitching matchup in store for you tonight. It is right-hander Shea Berry, no record, and a 4.15 ERA. Berry is coming off of 3 2/3 innings his last time out, his longest outing of the season, where he walked 4, struck out 5. He'll be opposed by a former first-round selection from 2019. It is Mason Denneberg, who has dealt with some pretty severe surgeries in the early stages of his career, but still considered a top 30 prospect by some in the national system. He's out for just his 2nd time this year, 0-1 record, and an 18 ERA, a little bit inflated after his first appearance. First pitch is coming up at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, and we have the starting lineups for you as well when we return from break and some more numbers on our starting pitchers. We're getting ready for game 2 of 6 between the Woodpeckers and the Fred Nats. It's coming up in moments on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
July, the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
It's time to flock to the Segra Stadium, Parrotheads, for Margaritaville at the ballpark Saturday, June 4th. It's the perfect night to gear up for summer. The first 1,000 fans in the park will take home a Margaritaville replica jersey thanks to Rock 103. In the great words of Jimmy Buffett, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. First pitch at 5.05 p.m. against the Fredericksburg Nationals. It's Margaritaville night at the ballpark, Saturday, June 4th at Segra Stadium. Tickets on sale now at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. And just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
The Force is strong within Segra Stadium on Friday, June 3rd, as Star Wars Night makes its return to downtown Fayetteville. Don't miss the Woodpeckers gear up in Stormtrooper jerseys, which you can bid on throughout the game. Proceeds benefit Almshouse. The battle will then take to the sky as we light up the night with the Star Wars post-game fireworks show presented by Q98. Calling all Jedis for Star Wars Night, Friday, June 3rd at Segra Stadium. First pitch at 7.05 p.m. Tickets on sale now at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H Home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers' 1970s throwback collection worn on-field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
It's that time again for Woodpeckers baseball live in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is game 2 of 6 between your Fayetteville Woodpeckers, the low-A affiliate of the Houston Astros, and the Fredericksburg Nationals, the low-A affiliate of the Washington Nationals. Andrew Chapman along with Colin Casey. Great to have you with us on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and the MILB First Pitch app. You can also find today's game in beautiful HD video quality and follow the Woodpeckers on the road as well when they leave the confines of Segra by subscribing to MILB.TV. Subscribe now. Use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout and receive $10 off your annual subscription. Shea Berry is out on the mound, firing off some warm-up throws. He's getting ready for his fourth outing of the year, his third start. He has an overall record of no record at this stage, a 4.15 ERA, 8 2/3 innings of work for Shea. He's given up 4 earned runs and almost even 1-to-1 walk-to-strikeout ratio, 10 free passes, 11 strikeouts, and he's ready to face the first Fred Nats hitter of the night. It's right-handed batter Jacob Young, and the first pitch is out. It's a low fastball at 7:07 Eastern time, and Colin, you've had your eye on the thermostat here this evening, and I think we're talking some record temperatures today as the fastball misses up and in, and it's 2-0.
Yep, 95 degrees, the hottest first pitch of the season, breaking the record set 24 hours ago at 93 degrees.
Yeah, it is feeling like the middle of summer in Fayetteville. High 90s the last couple of days. Should be mostly sunny, though, throughout this entire homestand. That's good news. Rain staying out of the area. Jacob Young in a 2-ball, 1-strike count. And Shea Berry bringing it home. Here's a bouncing ball hit out to short. Two hops for Molina. Brings it forward towards the grass and zips one across the diamond to Loperfido for the first out. Jacob Young retired on a 6-3 putout. And Colin has the rest of the Fayetteville defense for you tonight.
Same way last night's game started. A ground out to Leo Stani Molina at short. This is the best defense in all of the Carolina League, 971 fielding percentage. Tyler Whitaker at third, Molina at short, Yeris Ramirez at second. Joey Loperfido stands at first. Left to right in the outfield, Logan Cerny, Kennedy Corona, and Rainer Rivas.
Molina, nice play, moving into second base territory. Scooping, spinning, and throwing out Pena. He's gone on one pitch. Great move by Molina, boy, he has a lot of range.
Yep, that right there is why it's the top defense right now in the Carolina League when you see plays like that. Freddy Guillamo draws into the lineup. He does the catching for Shea Berry.
And Guillamo day off yesterday, so he is in the lineup today. Brady House stepping in for the first time, and he takes a slider, low and away for ball one. Moments after Molina takes away a hit, Shea Berry working with nobody on, two out, and House swings at one on the lower inside corner, missed a changeup. 1-ball and 1-strike. Brady House was in the 3 spot yesterday, hitless day, 0-for-3, reached once on a walk but struck out twice, both times against Rhett Koba. And he muscles through another changeup. Low and on the inside corner, good placement on that off-speed by Shea Berry. He's trying to go 1-2-3 in a scoreless top of the first. He gets the sign, target set, low and in, and the changeup is muscled up the middle. That'll split the middle infield and sneak its way into center. So Brady House, third time seeing that change from Berry on the lower inner half of the plate. Finally able to make some contact and come up with his first hit this week in Fayetteville. It's a 2-out single in the top of the first to bring up Steven Williams, the designated hitter.
And despite giving up the 2-out single, I like what I'm seeing from Berry. He's walked 3-plus guys in all 3 of his appearances this season, and none of them have been particularly long appearances, so he's going right after hitters tonight.
Yeah, first and 9 pitches for him. His number 10 crosses the plate, misses a little bit low, but it's looking like he's right around that target that Guillamo is setting each time. He shuffles through the signs. Steven Williams is a left-handed batter. Here's the pitch, and it is a little bit up and in. Berry spun a slider, and it is 2-0. Fayetteville comes in today, an overall record of 20-26. They're sitting in 4th place in the Carolina League South Division. House off of first. Berry a long set, the pitch, and it missed up and away. Another slider, an attempt at a back door. But count runs to 3-0. Williams was a little farther down in the order yesterday. He was playing in left and batting 7th. Didn't get a chance to step to the plate for a 4th time, and he finished 0-for-3. Needed strike for Berry, gets it to 3-1 on Williams. Meanwhile, the Fred Nats, they are right in the middle of the pack as well in the Carolina League North Division, 23-22 after yesterday's 9-0 loss. House on the move to second. This ball is bounced softly past Berry. Molina charges, fields behind the mound, and throws across his body on the move. The Fayetteville shortstop records all 3 outs and shows off some nifty glove work in the process. Fayetteville make it Fredericksburg, leaves a man on, Brady House, and do not score. Fayetteville grabbing the bats for the first time. It'll be Corona, Molina, and Loperfido to lead it off. We have the rest of the starting 9 for the Woodpeckers when we return.
Bonkers Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop, right here in Fayetteville, for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Tell me what you're gonna do now. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Look down on the field. It's a bird. It's Bunker. Make some noise. Fans, do you want free tacos? Well,
Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score 6 runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable only at their location on Gillespie Street here in Fayetteville. Say, "We want tacos" with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. The mound for the Nationals, Mason Denneberg. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 20, Kennedy Corona.
Kennedy Corona gets it started tonight for Fayetteville in the bottom of the first inning. Shea Berry works his way around a two-out single given up to Brady House, leaves him stranded. Corona takes the first pitch, a letter high, maybe a little bit below the letters, fastball, but that was top of the zone, called strike one. Corona will be followed by Leo Stanley Molina and then Joey Loperfido, the left-handed batter. 0-1 is upstairs, 1-1. Logan Cerny hits cleanup today for the Woodpeckers. Tyler Whitaker plays at third. He'll hit fifth. Victor Mascai is the DH batting sixth. The 1-1. Corona reaches out in front of a breaking ball. Falls behind 1-2. Yuris Ramirez is the 7 hitter. Rainier Rivas makes his first start at home after joining up with Fayetteville last week in Kinston. And Freddy Guillamo, the catcher, rounds it out for the Woodpeckers. The 1-2. Corona takes a breaking ball down and outside from Mason Denneberg, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. Denneberg pitching in just his second game of the 2022 season. Here's his offering, 2-2, and he strikes out Corona, foul tip, but Barrios, holds on to it behind the plate. And that'll bring up Leo Stanley Molina, and quickly Colin has the Fred Nats defense for you.
Yep, Nationals come in third in the Carolina League defensively. You mentioned Alan Barrios doing the catching for Denneberg. Brandon Bossier over at first base. At second, Viandel Pena. Brady House, the shortstop, and Samuel Infante is at third as the first pitch to Molina is swung on and foul tipped. In left field, TJ White makes his debut in the series. Jacob Young in center, and Andre Arias out there for the first time in right.
Molina got a second breaking ball and was just able to hold off. Got him fishing on the first one. And it's 1 ball and 1 strike. The pitch. Down and away, and a backhanded pick by Barrios. Molina was batting third yesterday, jumps a spot in the order today. And he reached twice, hit by a pitch and a walk, but finished 0-for-3 without a hit. 15 total hits by the Fayetteville offense yesterday was a single game season high. Pitch down and away, 3-1. Molina already making an impact on today's game with his glove. Three infield assists. In the opening inning, made a couple of nice plays, one charging in behind the mound, the other ranging to his left over towards second. Sits all the way back in the box, close stance. His 3-1 pitch is down and outside, and he's drawn a walk. Got by the catcher, so Molina will hustle it up that first baseline, but won't go any further.
And Molina's still looking for that first hit of the series. That was his 6th plate appearance. He's been on now 3 times, just hasn't really gotten his pitch so far. I think the good thing, though, you reached the base 3 times and you haven't struck out. Can't ask for much more.
Joey Loperfido gets to hit with a man on in this bottom of the first. 1 away, no score. Mason Denneberg throwing home and missing. No, called a strike on that upper outside edge to Loperfido. 96, the number flashing on the left field video board. So solid fastball coming out of the right hand of Denneberg. He spins and throws over to first. Late call coming in, but he's ruled safe. Base umpire is Brian Laws. He was working the plate yesterday. And Shea Graham goes from the bases to behind the plate. Two-man umpiring crew wearing the black ball caps, the black shirts, and the gray pants. Swing and a miss. Runner on the move to second. Throw down and tag not in time. Molina dives in head first and has a stolen base.
Yep, the Woodpeckers had three of them yesterday. Cody Orr had a pair. Not a surprise at this point in the season at all to see them run. They've been doing it throughout the first 2 months, and as soon as June hits, looks like they're not slowing down anytime soon.
Backdoor breaking ball gets Loperfido looking. No argument from him, and he heads back to the dugout. Two outs, two strikeouts for Mason Denneberg. And that brings up Logan Cerny. Denneberg is a 22-year-old and a former first-round draft selection by the Nationals in 2018. Was the 27th overall pick of that year's draft. They plucked him out of Merritt Island High School in Merritt Island, Florida. But the injuries is ultimately what dampened some of the high-level prospect hopes for Mason Denneberg to start his pro career. He's hoping to work back into that conversation, though. With a healthy 2022, he underwent a shoulder surgery after pitching at the rookie ball level in 2019, and then a Tommy John operation in March of 2021. Logan Cerny, in a 1-0 count, swings at the pitch, and he's over the top of a changeup. One ball and one strike.
The silver lining for Mason Chappie is it's never been a question of his talent. It's just been the fact he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and a lot of it really just not his fault. He's had arm issues throughout his entire pro career.
Breaking ball gets away, goes to the backstop, and will give Molina a free pass to head to third. Everything's been pretty accurate with that off-speed for Denneberg so far, but that one got away. His first appearance of the year, the debut, a day that must have felt really good for Mason after all of the surgery and the recovery, finally getting back on that mound for the first time, was on May 25th against the Salem Red Sox at home. Misses outside to Cerny, and it's now 3-1. He went two innings but gave up four earned runs. He walked four and struck out one. Showing a little bit better command today, but in danger of walking his second, the 3-1. And Cerny looks at a strike. He tossed aside that bat and was halfway up the baseline. And now he gets a long stare from the home plate umpire, Shea Graham, after making a long move. Woodpeckers are in the retro threads today. A 1970s look with the white top, the striped pattern going down the bottom of the uniform, the white pants, the black pinstripe, and the black batting helmets. Cerny scoots out of the way. Now he can stroll up that first baseline. A little more assurance this time around. He has ball four. So strikeout, walk. A pattern develops for Mason Denneberg in this bottom of the first, and he works with runners on the corners and Tyler Whitaker coming up to the plate.
Yeah, I think that really kind of sums it up for Denneberg. He's got great strikeout stuff, but at the same time, still trying to rein in that control after having so much time on the shelf.
First pitch in to Tyler Whitaker is a knee-level fastball, 94 on the inside half. It's 0-1. Whitaker had a double yesterday, comes in today playing in his 45th game of the Carolina League. 160 hitter with three home runs, 19 driven in. Runner on the move to second. Cerny gets in there without a throw. The pitch spikes its way in, and Barrios knocks it down with a chest protector. Fayetteville now 2-for-2, and stolen base attempts, they're often moving early. You have the Fred Nats in the road navy blue threads today. They have the two-tone caps with the navy blue top, the red bill, the Fredericksburg F on the front of that ball cap. Here's the 1-1. Whitaker holds off an up-and-away breaking ball. Two balls and a strike. Big white numbers on the backs for the Fred Nats uniforms. They have a white trim detail around the collar and the sleeves, the gray pants with a red pinstripe going down the side of the leg. Here's the pitch to Whitaker, and he fouls it straight back. Get to 2-2 and a lot of color coordination out there for Mason Denneberg. He has the short red sleeves popping out from underneath that navy blue uniform, and he has the red colored glove. So 2-2, the 26th pitch of the inning is lined foul up above the Fayetteville dugout into that netting. We were told today that Mason Denneberg would likely be capped around three innings or so, again working his way back from injury and surgery. But pitch count will obviously play a factor in that as to whether or not he can go three today. This will be his 27th pitch. Whitaker swings and rolls it over to third. It's picked up by White. He goes across the diamond and makes the play to end the inning in the Fayetteville scoring threat. So a lot of pitches thrown by Denneberg in that first inning. He issues two walks. Fayetteville steals a couple of bases, but they end up leaving two in scoring position. Do not score, and we head to the top of the second inning. Nothing on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport, and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
The Force is strong within Sager Stadium on Friday, June 3rd, as Star Wars Night makes its return to downtown Fayetteville. Don't miss the Woodpeckers gear up in Stormtrooper jerseys, which you can bid on throughout the game. Proceeds benefit Almshouse. The battle will then take to the sky as we light up the night with the Star Wars post-game fireworks show presented by Q98. Calling all Jedis for Star Wars Night, Friday, June 3rd at Sager Stadium. First pitch at 7.05 p.m. Tickets on sale now at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.
Welcome back to downtown Fayetteville, Sager Stadium. No score after one tonight. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey with you. It's Brandon Bossier leading it off for the Fred Nats and swinging through a Shea Berry fastball for strike one. Berry gave up a two-out single to Brady House in the top of the first out to center, but he was left on. Fayetteville had a great chance in the bottom of the first after Cerny reached second. Leo Stanley Molina made it to third, but both were left on after a Tyler Whitaker ground out to third. One ball, one strike pitch. This is grounded out to second base for Yuri Ramirez. Hardly has to move. He squares it up, picks up, and throws to first. Couple pitches and one out for Shea Berry. He's a sinker baller, so you're going to see a lot of contact on the ground.
Beat me to it. I was literally about
to
talk about how he's been pitching to his strengths. Four ground outs generated so far, keeping the ball down in the zone. I mean, it's exactly what you want to see out of a guy who throws that sharp breaking sinker is use it to your ability. Just pepper the zone just below the knees. Really good spot for him, and he's worked really well so far through the first four outs of this one.
And midseason chemistry is developing, Colin. You're thinking the way I'm thinking.
The telepathy.
Infante takes a strike to begin his at bat and now drills this one deep out into left field. Cerny is ranging back. He is onto the track, pressed up against the wall. He reaches up, and it's been knocked down and back into the field of play. Cerny fires into second base. Infante has a double, and the base umpires indicating just that. No home run indication, and Logan Cerny almost brought one back. And off of the bat, Colin, I thought the Carolina League home run leader had his 13th of the season.
I did too, and what was weird about that one is Cerny got there, got his glove up. I don't know if he thought he didn't have any chance at getting that ball, but he got his glove up there, tried to squeeze it, maybe thought he had it, looked down, and the ball just kind of popped out of his glove. So really strange play. And like you mentioned, I thought that ball was way out of here, but it just didn't have enough juice to get out. So I think Berry caught a little bit of a break there.
This is Andre Arias making his first at-bat of the series. Day off yesterday. Infante on second base. So the Fred Nats get their first make it second base runner, first extra base hit of not only tonight's game, but of this series. Yesterday was three hits, three singles. Really soft contact by the Fayetteville pitching staff. And now Infante falls just inches shy of his 13th home run of the year. Arias in a 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. And he muscles through a changeup from Barry. Might have been the fastener, the sinker, rather, there from Shea. And it is 2-1. You have the sinker, the changeup, a fastball, and a slider for Barry, four-pitch mix. 2-1. On a line out to right, sprinting in is Rivas, and it gets through him. This will roll all the way to the wall and easily score a run. Corona backs up the play. Arias loses the helmet. He turns second. He's going to third, and he has a stand-up triple. Well, we'll see how they score it with Rivas out there. He pulled up on that ball, Colin. It never touched him. And got right through him.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those in-between ones where it was sinking quickly. Stuck his glove out, thought he had enough room to get there, and the ball just dove right underneath it. It's a bad spot to have that get by you, too, all the way to the 357 marker. Long way to go, and Arias has got enough speed to turn that into three bases pretty easily. And here comes Fredericksburg. That offense didn't do much yesterday. They are alive and well early in this one.
T.J. White, another lefty. A lot of left-handers for Shea Berry to deal with. Takes low on a sinker, and it's one ball and no strikes. Yeah, that's got to be a disheartening feeling out there. And right when that ball gets by you, and you know it's rolling all the way to the wall, it went right underneath that 357-foot marker in right center. White takes a strike.
So there is an error on the board, and I think they might have just called it outright an error, which I guess I could understand, but, I mean, that's still a tough play to make as a right fielder running deep in on a sinking liner.
Yeah, I thought it fell in front of Rivas, so likely more of a base hit than potentially the error, allowing Arias to get to third. Now it's T.J. White. Infield is played in, and a bouncing ball hit foul off the facing of the Fayetteville dugout. It's a 2-1 count on T.J.
Still waiting for it to officially update on GameCast, though, so I think they might be talking that one over.
Yeah, board has an error, but that's not the official until the online goes in. So we'll update you on that front. 2-2 from Barry to T.J. White. Misses high. Ramped it up with the fastball. The sinker comes in about 88-89. The fastball around 91-92. That's how you know the difference between the two pitches. And you can see a little bit of drop on that sinker from our position. 3-2 payoff. Inside and low. T.J. White has drawn a walk. And the Fred Nats have three straight base runners against Barry in the second inning. They have a 1-0 lead. And after a little bit of turbulence, John Kovalik, Fayetteville pitching coach, makes an early trip to the mound tonight.
Yeah, it is only his first walk, which is a promising sign, but, you know, a couple of hard-hit balls, the one that nearly got out, and then the sharply hit one to right just moments ago. So just trying to get it calm him down a little bit. Got the nine-hitter coming up. Good opportunity to try to bounce back. But with this Fred Nats lineup, there's really no safe place at all, 1-9. So you got to bring your A game every single at-bat. Sinker baller, though, Barry, best thing he could do right now is generate a ground ball and get a double play.
So official scoring decision has been a fielding error on Rivas. So no base hit for Andre Arias.
It's always a tough one to score.
E9. That's one where kind of fell right around his ankles or so and then got through him.
Like you said, Chappie, I don't think he actually ever got a glove on it.
Yeah, I don't think he ever touched it. Alan Barrios is up, and a pitch misses off the outside corner. 1-0. One away. Arias on third, T.J. White on first. The Fred Nats have scored their first run of this series. Pitch fouled back and out of play. With that being an E9, it would take a RBI away from Arias as well.
That'd be an unearned run.
Unearned run on Barry, correct. Second baseman Ramirez pinching towards the middle. Big hole on the right side. Barrios takes an inside changeup. A little too far inside. And it's 2-1. The wind is non-existent. Those flags are standing still out there in left center field. Warm night. Ball still could travel pretty well. Samuel Infante falling just short. That play out in left, I was going to make a mention of it right after it happened, but was very similar to one that Logan Cerny had in right field last week in Kinston. 3-1 home. Tapped foul left of the plate. To the backstop it goes 3-2, but he had a play in Kinston. Forget who hit the ball. Might have been Jose Acosta towards the bottom of the order, and he put it all the way to the very top of the right field wall. Cerny had to leap a little bit for that one. He definitely stopped the home run, but it was another one where he couldn't pick it cleanly. It fell to the warning track, so he knocked it back into play and went for a triple. Runner on the move to second. Throw is high, and it kicks off of Ramirez's glove. Runner has come home from third. Arias scores, and White holds it second base.
Yeah, that's a mistake there from Freddy Guillamo, one you just got to eat. There was a great jump over at first by T.J. White. Looked like he was going to be in safely regardless. I know he was trying to get that strike him out, throw him out to get out of the inning. That was well read over at third by Arias. He knew instantly that ball left Guillamo's hand. He was going home, and he got in easily, especially with that throw getting away.
So now Jacob Young, top of the order. He bats for a second straight inning. Fred Nats lead 2-0. And the first pitch is called a strike, 0-1. Berry getting ready to throw his 37th pitch of the night. Peaks to second, comes home, clips the lower inside corner. Make it 0-2 on Jacob Young, who grounded out to Leo Stanley Molina to get our game started in the top of the first. Infield just about straight up against Young. Outfield as well. Here's the 0-2. And that misses inside.
We talked about the defense we've seen lately from Fayetteville over the last few weeks and how great it's been. Got an error already and one that probably won't go in the books as an error, but a bit of a mistake. Although it might, honestly, because it gave Arias the opportunity to score no matter what.
Time called as Berry steps off, resets. Very even stance for Jacob Young. Slight bend in the knees. He swings, and Guillamo took one flush around the chest protector. Shea Graham will give him a moment and hand deliver Shea Berry a baseball. Other action in the Carolina League today that we'll be tracking. You have the Charleston River Dogs on the road in Kinston taking on the Down East Wood Ducks, another home series for Down East. After Fayetteville lost 5-6 in Kinston last week. Columbia is out in Salem, Virginia. And the bottom of the second of that game, the Delmarva Shorebirds on the road in Myrtle Beach. Kannapolis facing Augusta out at SRP Park in North Augusta. And the Lynchburg Hillcats are hosting the Carolina Mudcats. We'll have more updates throughout our broadcast on the surrounding scoreboard. Here's a check swing on a breaking ball down and away. They appeal in Brian Laws. Goes the way of Jacob Young, says he held up, and it's 2-2. Trying to get to the bottom of the second. This ball is lifted out to center field, pretty deep for Kennedy Corona. Starts sprinting back, but slows his run, squares his shoulders, and makes the catch to end the inning. But the Fred Nats add a couple of unconventional runs. An error brings home Infante. A double steal brings home Arias. And the Nationals have their first lead of this series. 2-0 as we go to the bottom of the second on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
The T-shirt toss. Who wants a T-shirt? Make some noise.
Let's go.
In the club with my homies. Trying to get a little down on the low key.
thinking that it might be a good idea to take her with me. She's ready to leave.
Well, let's go!
But I gotta keep it real now. Cause on the 1 to 10, she's a certified 20. That just ain't me.
Hey!
Cause I know if I take that chance, she swears it's gonna leave. But what I
back on the mound for the Nationals, Mason Denneberg. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 17, Victor Miskai.
Fayetteville trails by two in bottom two. It is Victor Miskai leading it off against Mason Denneberg. Back out for a second inning of work, and a first pitch fastball is in the zone for strike one. Miskai will be followed by Yuris Ramirez and then Rainier Rivas, the 6, 7, and 8 of the order scheduled against Denneberg, who left two in scoring position, gave up a couple of walks, struck out two, and Whitaker grounded out to end the inning. His pitch to Miskai is down and away. Two balls and one strike. Victor Miskai steps in batting 221 over 32 games. The pitch popped up and over our heads in the booth. Brings it to even 2-2. Victor with 5 home runs, 19 driven in. He's walked 20 times, 46 strikeouts, and an on-base of 344. The 2-2 misses outside.
I think Victor's happy to come back home. The last home series we had against the Carolina Mudcats, he did a really strong 6-game stretch offensively.
Leans out in front of a 3-2 pitch, and he's down swinging. The third, Mason Denneberg strikeout. And one away in the home second inning to bring up Yuris Ramirez. Ended his Tuesday night on a high note yesterday. Hitting one to dead center. Just barely hit it on top of that yellow piping up above the 400-foot marker. Spins out of the way of a fastball. That grazed him. Got him in the back. 95, that's a tough one to take. I don't think it got Ramirez flush. Ball ended up at the backstop, but Ramirez, after spinning around, unbuckles the guard, and he'll head to first. Third free base runner that Denneberg has given up here in the early going. Fayetteville was dangerous yesterday with men on first. Two of the 3 2-run home runs came with runners on first base, not with runners in scoring position. And here is Rainier Rivas getting ready to take his first at-bat at Segra Stadium this year. He scoots the back foot out of the way, and it is 1-0. He's still looking for his first hit as a Fayetteville Woodpecker after joining the team last weekend in Kinston. Came up from the Florida complex. He had a good year at the rookie level in 2021. Ramirez moving to second. The pitch is outside. Here's the throw down, and the tag beats him by a mile. Yuris Ramirez was dead to rights by the time Brady House had that baseball in his glove. He was just waiting for Yuris to slide into it. I think he got a late break, and a pinpoint throw by Barrio swipes away the base runner. Two gone.
Yeah, just not the best jump there. And when you're that aggressive, as the Woodpeckers have been, obviously that'll happen from time to time.
Rivas takes another one down and in, 3-0. Wait for the perfect pitch here with two outs.
Of course, Rivas came over back in 2019 in the rare AL West interdivisional trade with the Angels that sent Max Stassi over to Anaheim.
It's funny, he and Kennedy Corona have very similar backgrounds when it comes to their playing careers. They both grew up in Maracaibo in Venezuela, same hometown in Venezuela, and they both were traded into the Houston Astros system once they became international signings. You have Rivas coming over from the Angels. Kennedy Corona was traded by the Mets, so both of those guys grew up in the same area, and they've both gone through that experience of being traded from one organization to another. Freddy Guillamo into the right side. Rivas leading off. Here's the pitch, and he takes a breaking ball strike. 77-mile-per-hour slider by Denneberg, and it's 0-2. Thanks to the caught stealing Situation still manageable for Denneberg. Strike away from getting out of it. Could be two on, one out. Instead, Rivas on first. Guillamo having to protect. He's a 148 hitter over 26 games. Here's the pitch, and a little bit of a late swing. He fouled it back and sounded like it hit the pitch clock.
Haven't seen too much damage done to it so far early in the season.
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna say, I think that's the first time a foul ball has hit our brand spanking new pitch clock. Wonder what happens if you lose it. I think there's still one on the left side. There is. Throw over to first. And Rivas steps back in safely. Have one pitch clock that the umpires can see. That's off to the left side of the batter's eye. And then two behind home plate. One off set to the right side, one off set to the left side. So if one of them takes a foul ball, malfunctions, you're not out of luck as a pitcher. 0-2. And there's strike three. Guillamo looks at a fastball, 96 on the outer edge. Mason Denneberg strikes out two more in a scoreless second inning. And 41 pitches, two scoreless for Denneberg tonight in Fayetteville. We head to the third, and it is 2-0 Fred Nats.
Seats in the house. You've won a tumbler and drink tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Show us those tumblers. So cool. Someday you'll pay the price, I know. I've seen it before, it happens all the time. You're closing the door, you leave the world behind. You're digging for gold, you're throwing away a fortune and feeling, but someday you'll pay. You're as cold as ice, you're willing to sacrifice.
Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Shea Barry. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Nationals, the second baseman, number six, Viandel Pena.
Top third in the Fred Nats, enjoying a 2-0 lead in the early going against Shea Barry. He is facing Viandel Pena, Fred Nats two-hitter, left-handed batter. First pitch of the inning, he checks his swing, it gets to the backstop. Woodpecker struck out a couple of times, left one more man on in the second inning. So no score for their offense. See what Colin Casey can bring you over the next couple. He's on the play-by-play.
Thank you, Chappie. 1-0 count as there wasn't an appeal, but Shea Barry pretty much appealed himself, looking over to first, and field umpire Brian Laws said that he held up. So now the count even 1-1. Viandel Pena grounded out his first time up. Heck of a play over at short by Leo's Danny Molina, one of three he made in that first inning, and count is now 1-2. The fans in the Veterans Club at full speed ahead outside as Barry pulls the string on the changeup and gets Pena swinging. So good start to what Barry hopes is a bounce back inning as he records a strikeout to begin the third.
It'd be nice to see Barry get right back into that groove he had in the first inning. Hadn't gotten a strikeout in that first, but he was getting quick contact stuff on the ground. And when you're really in your groove as a sinker baller, it seems like every pitch you're getting outs, and that's what Barry's trying to do.
In steps Brady House, top 10 pick from last year's draft and the top prospect in the Washington National system. Inside out swing, right side, a dive by Ramirez. He's able to knock it down, but that's all he'll be able to do as House legs out an infield single. He's now 2-for-2. Ramirez took a little bit getting back to his feet, but he seems to be okay. And so House heads to first with one down.
Couple singles, and neither of them have been hit very hard for Brady House. Just well placed. Soft liner up the middle in the first. Now he breaks the bat that time. Ramirez was up the middle and too far to go. Good effort, but Brady House, good turnaround tonight. 0 for yesterday, 2 for 2 today.
First pitch to Steven Williams, fastball away. House, the number one rated high school prospect coming out of his draft, even ahead of Marcelo Meyer, who went fourth overall to the Boston Red Sox. So really talented high school class last year, and a lot of guys that are quickly making a name for themselves. Is there's a called strike on the outside corner. Count is now 1-1. Henry Davis going first overall to the Pittsburgh Pirates, the catching prospect, followed by Jack Leiter to the Rangers. Ground ball up the middle, base hit. Williams up to first, House heading into third. He slides safely. The ball gets away briefly from Whitaker. That allows Steven Williams to get to second base, and that'll put two in scoring position with one away for Fredericksburg. Good heads-up base running by Williams to get that extra base.
Yeah, Williams, I think, had committed to go to second the moment that Corona came up firing to third. Brady House even thought about trying to break to the plate after that got away from Tyler Whitaker, but a good decision for him to hold off. That didn't bounce too far away from Tyler.
Brandon Bossier, huge opportunity, potentially double the lead. But here is a half-hearted swing on a sinker that drops right off the table, 0-1. Infield in for Fayetteville. They're going to keep this a two-run ball game. Rednats have already exceeded the amount of hits they had in last night's game in the third inning. Close pitch. Barry doesn't get the call. 1-1.
It's funny how the dynamics of a game change over the course of the season. I remember early in the year, Colin, we were talking about how Fayetteville needed to win low-scoring ball games just because their offense wasn't generating a ton. Now it feels like the Rednats have to take a huge lead on Fayetteville with how many home runs they've been hitting.
A wave and a miss by Bossier. Yeah, I mean, these are two teams that have the most in the entire league, but yesterday Fayetteville was able to extend that lead in home runs by hitting three of their own. Mm-hmm. I believe it's now 46 compared to 40. Averaging one per game have the Woodpeckers been this season. A chopper to first, runner coming home, play at the plate, and the ball pops out of Guillamo's glove. Sliding in safely was House. He made a break right away, and it paid off. It's 3-0 Fredericksburg. Up to first goes Bossier. Over to third goes Steven Williams, and the threat continues now for Fredericksburg.
And I don't know if Guillamo has a chance to drop that tag, even if he grabs it cleanly. Brady House slid towards the back corner of the plate. The throw from Loperfido came into the left-handed hitter's box, so Guillamo was going to have to turn his body all the way around, swipe a tag, and House probably was going to get in there anyways.
Sammy Infante to the plate. Big cut, waves and misses. He's trying to replicate what he did in his first at-bat, except get it a couple more feet. Had a long fly ball to the left field wall, popped out of the glove of Logan Cerny. Ended up being a double, and he would come around to score the first run of the ball game for the Nationals. Barry trying to work his way out of the jam. The pitch. Hit on the ground slowly to third. Whitaker throws to second for one. Return throw is sailed and nearly ends up in the dugout. Not sure if it would have been in time regardless, so goes in the books as a fielder's choice and an RBI for Infante. And that will push the lead now to 4-0 Fredericksburg.
So you get runs now on an error, a double steal, and a pair of RBI fielder's choices. So Fred Nats are getting some of those ugly runs right now. Going up against Barry. One of them right now is unearned. That run that scored in the second inning. Yuris Ramirez might have just rushed that throw a little bit over at second base. He's a little more of a true third baseman. overcooked that throw and, well, too high for even the tall Loperfido to pull in.
That ball was about 6 inches from being in the dugout and giving an extra base to Infante, but he'll stay at first. Two home in the inning. And Andre Arias at the plate. On the move is Infante. The throw down is in time. Freddy Guillamo throws a dart to second. The tag placed perfectly by Ramirez. And that will do it for the inning. But another two-run inning for the Fred Nats. Give them a 4-0 advantage as we head to the bottom of the third from Segra Stadium. You're tuned in right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Right as our doggos down on the dugout. Correction, the concourse. Correction, the dugout. Take it away, T.
All right, here I'm B. I'm right here. Let's do this. Okay, you guys ready for our dog show? You know how this works. We're going to have four dogs here, and then you get to vote by using our app. You'll see the QR code come up, okay? And we'll come back around the sixth inning and announce our winner. Okay, let's meet our contestants. Dog number one on the end is a golden retriever. His name is Simba. Hey, Simba. Dog number two is a Roddy Husky. Her name is Bailey. Dog number three is an American Foxhound. And this is Alex right here. Dog number three. All right, dog number four right here. Hey, what's up, Bon Jovi? This is Bon Jovi, and it's a Schnauzer mix right here. Dog number four, okay? So, again, take out your phones and vote for your favorite dog, and we'll be back during the sixth inning to announce the winner, all right? Let's give it up for our contestants. Come, please.
Fans, to vote for your favorite dog, scan the QR code on the screen. We'll announce our winner later in the sixth inning. Back on the mound for the Nationals, Mason Denneberg.
Primero que nada, gracias te doy, Dios mío, porque si merecerlo, también me ha bendecido, y aunque no soy perfecto.
Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 20, Kennedy Corona.
Mason Denneberg looks to continue his strong start to the game as Kennedy Corona steps in. Two scoreless so far for Denneberg as we head to the bottom of inning number three. And I don't know if there was an automatic strike called or not, but there was a motion by home plate umpire Shea Graham before the at-bat. That one foul tip. So that will be a strike.
Yeah.
And yeah, 0-2. 0-2 count to Corona. I thought there was a motion, so he took too long getting to the batter's box. It's now 1-2 as that one dives into the dirt. So Corona trying to fight back, and he swings and misses for strike three. So that's got to be a frustrating feeling as a hitter. Anytime you lose track of time, take too long getting to the batter's box to begin the inning, and all of a sudden you find yourself down 0-1 before the at-bat even starts.
Yeah, I would compare it to being late for class.
Yep.
And you got a test the day you're late, and you woke up a little bit past the alarm. You show up 10 minutes late. Whole class already is heads down doing their test. You're rattled the rest of the test. You showed up late. That's kind of how it is getting the box when the pitch clock expires on you.
Was that a common occurrence at Arizona State for you?
Well, you know, it was. We're really pressing time on a couple of occasions. Put it that way. I learned how to run across campus.
Breaking ball in there. 0-2 to Leo's Downey Molina. Working quickly, and the 0-2 is swung on and missed. So that's three straight strikeouts for Mason Denneberg. He is in a rhythm. Strikeout number six on the night, and as he approaches what will presumably be the end of his outing if he wraps up this third inning. Another promising step by the young right-hander who's coming back from a litany of injuries. There's a reason why the Washington Nationals still believe in him, and he has proven his worth so far tonight in Fayetteville. Fastball to Joey Loperfido, misses down and away. Loperfido struck out looking his first time against Denneberg, and now he's ahead in the count 2-0. Joey, a fan favorite here in Fayetteville, former Duke Blue Devil. The 2-0. Sharply hit out to center field. Young coming in, and that ball hangs up plenty for him to make the catch and end the inning. It's a 1-2-3 bottom of the third for Mason Denneberg and the Fredericksburg Nationals, who lead it 4-0 after three from Segra Stadium.
Fans, we have some groups in attendance this evening. Take a look at the Segratron. And when you see your name, make some noise to let us know where you're sitting.
That music can just stay away. If you ain't got anything good to say, then shut your mouth. I got my windows down and my blinders on. Radio set to my favorite song. All green lights on the road I'm on, man. There ain't no doubt I'm getting it.
We're extremely grateful to have wonderful season ticket members who support the Woodpeckers year in and year out. Every game this season, we'll randomly select one lucky season ticket member to be our Hutchins high-performing season ticket member of the game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's high-performance season ticket member of the game is Thomas Helms. Congratulations, Thomas, and thank you for being a season ticket member. So cool. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Shea Barry.
It's a good night. We keep it on the up, that's how we get down. So don't be coming around as you got them good vibes. I'm living this good life. I'm breathing.
Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Nationals, the right fielder, number 35, Andre Arias.
Andre Arias will lead things off as we head to the fourth from Segra Stadium, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman on this muggy Wednesday evening. Swing and a miss. Arias, who was at the plate to end last inning before the man in front of him, Sammy Infante, was caught stealing. Reached on an error his first time up. Ended up at third base, so that one fouled off. 0-2, a sinking line drive, got past Rainier Rivas out and right. That allowed him to get to third. Infante in front of him came around to score, and then coming around to score himself was Arias, who lines one into center field, but right at Kennedy Corona. It's quick out number one for Shea Barry to begin his fourth inning of work. Papers flying everywhere in the press box.
Yeah, I went to grab my scorecard and accidentally flung it over my back. Clumsy here, Colin. Man.
TJ White digs in. The eight hitter drew a walk his first time up before stealing second. Barry starts him off with a sinker just below the knees. White did not appear in yesterday's game. The fifth round pick from 2021. Backdoor breaking ball, 2-0. Traylon John White grew up in Spartansburg, South Carolina. Fouls one off of his leg, and he'll walk that one off. Ironically enough, his favorite music artist, Fayetteville legend J. Cole.
There we go.
Grew up just down the street. Of course, the famous 2014 Forest Hills Drive album cover based off of his home address here in the 910.
Yeah. Yeah, so I learned this story a few months back, but I guess the deal with the Forest Hills Drive street sign has been very controversial here in town.
Chopper to first, easy play for Lo Perfido, underhands to Barry, two down.
So if you go down Forest Hill Drive out here, Colin, you'll see that the street sign is now at this point tied to a electrical pole about 25 feet in the air, and that's because I guess when J. Cole was getting really big out here, people... Everybody, after he named the the album Forest Hills Drive, everybody wanted to steal the sign. So high school kids would be stealing the sign. They'd put it in their bedroom. They went through, like, multiple signs, and then finally they said, that's enough. We're going to put it higher than a forklift can get to.
City said, fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you.
Oh, boy, he went there.
Had to make at least one reference. There's a swing and a miss. Barrios count even 1-1.
Look at you, Colin, dropping J. Cole lyrics on the broadcast.
I was a big fan of his before moving down here, so it was one of the cool things being tied to this city of Fayetteville. 1-2 the count now. Barrios struck out swinging his first time up in the second. Barry trying to complete his first 1-2-3 inning of the night. The pitch. Lazy fly ball. Shallow center. In fact, it won't even get to Corona. Molina calls him off, makes the grab. And there you have it. 7, 8, 9 hitters set down in order by Shea Barry as he completes his fourth inning of work. His team, however, trailing 4-0 to the Fred Nats as we head to the bottom half of inning number 4 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Got a birthday in the house tonight. T. Bright has our special guest down on the dugout. Take it away, T.
All right, it is a birthday today. D-Lock, it's your birthday. Hey, all right, guys, we're going to sing happy birthday to D-Lock. Are you guys ready? 1, 2, 3. So make sure you celebrate it well. Happy birthday.
Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers. The left fielder, number 1, Logan Cerny.
Cleanup man Logan Cerny kicks things off in the bottom of the fourth, his team trailing 4-0 the Fredericksburg Nationals, and a new pitcher out there for the Nats. It is left-hander Andrew Alvarez. Second pitch swinging, lined out to right field and fielded off the shoe tops by Arias, able to just snag it, and it will be a line out to right to kick off the inning for Cerny to kick off the night for Alvarez. Alvarez, the left-hander out of Anaheim, California, taken in the 12th round of last year's draft. And he ties Tyler Whitaker in knots with a breaking ball, strike one. Alvarez on the season, 0-3 with a 4.05 earned run average. Was a starter to kick off the season, but has now become a bullpen arm. 0-2 now to Whitaker. Taken out of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. See, an all Big West honorable mention. Swing and a miss, and he's off to a strong start tonight. He gets Whitaker on strikes, two down. His 2-year starting pitcher in high school at Los Alamitos High School out of Anaheim, California. Had his best outing on May 11th as there's a called strike to Victor Miskai where he struck out eight men out of the nine outs he recorded against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Count even 1-1. But he comes in to replace Mason Denneberg, who is outstanding to start this ball game. Three scoreless, hitless innings. Three walks, six strikeouts. 1-2 to Miskai, who was a strikeout victim to Denneberg. The 1-2 swung on and missed. So Andrew Alvarez picks up right where Mason Denneberg left off as he retires the Woodpeckers in order. That's now seven straight retired by Fredericksburg pitching dating back to the second inning. We head to the fifth, 4-0 Fred Nats on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 55, Big Casey Ford. Come on, crank it up. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Nationals, the center fielder, number 3, Jacob Young.
New pitcher for the Woodpeckers as we head to the fifth inning. Right-hander Casey Ford takes over on the mound. To tell you more about him, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. 2-0 record, 3.60 ERA for Casey Ford. His first pitch to Jacob Young misses outside, 1-0 count on the Fred Nats leadoff man. Casey in his seventh appearance has totaled 10 innings of work, giving up 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 14 strikeouts. And he paints a fastball at 96 on the outside edge. It is 1-1 to Jacob Young. 0-2, a ground out to short and a fly out to center. Ford, the big right-hander. 6'5", make it 6'6", 275. A check swing at a breaking ball below the zone, and he went too far. Shea Graham doesn't need an appeal. 1-2, the count. 4 runs on 4 Fred Nats hits. No runs, no hits for Fayetteville. They trail 4-0. The pitch home. Up and outside. And it's 2-2. A 2-run second for the Fred Nats. A 2-run third. Shea Berry was able to set them down 1-2-3 in the fourth to end his start. Here's the 2-2 break even from Ford. And it's popped up. Out to shallow center field. Yuris Ramirez drifting back, hands out to his side, calling off his outfielders and making a two-handed squeeze.
All things considered for Shea Berry, reflecting on his start, you know, 4 innings, gave up 4 hits, 4 runs, but only 2 of them were earned. And there's a couple of instances where he just didn't get the defense that most starting pitchers would have liked. So I think it skewed his start a little bit. Most important thing, Chappie, one walk. He really reined in the command well. And despite only getting a pair of strikeouts, you'll take one walk any day of the week.
Viondel Peña checks too far in the first pitch. Changeup below the zone. 0-1 to start out the Fred Nats second baseman. Yeah, the one walk for Barry, that was in the second inning. T.J. White immediately followed it up with a strikeout. Gave up a couple singles in the third, but 1-2-3 in the fourth. And a nice turnaround after four walks in his previous outing, just the one today. Curveball floats its way in, and Peña takes strike two. Left-handed hitter 0-for-2 with a ground out to short and a swinging strikeout against Barry in the third. Ford out of the stretch, throws, and misses outside. One ball and two strikes on Viondel Peña. Brady House will get a chance in this fifth inning. He's 2-for-2 with a couple of singles. He waits on deck. Molina shaded towards the middle, right side straight up against Peña. The 1-2 offering. Inside, but it was close. Peña tried to sell it. Might have been able to do so. 1-2.
Good life on that fastball. 97 in tight.
Ford works from that first base side of the rubber. He's exclusively out of the stretch. And again, his break even. Same spot. Again, he didn't get the call. 96, fastball, inner half. And it just missed. Peña now working a full count, 3-2. Pinwheels that bat. Guillamo drops the signs for Ford and sets the target, but calls for time. Catcher Guillamo called for time, and well,
what?
Now they've granted Peña. Why have they granted Peña first base?
It looked like Freddie called time and something flew into his eye or something.
Yeah.
So he asked for time, presumably, and the umpire said, you know what, no, I'm not going to give it to you, and just called an automatic ball instead.
I suppose so. That's odd because Ford has the ability to step off as well if he wanted to. Here's the pitch home to Brady House. That starts his at-bat. So I'm wondering, I guess the rule is catcher can't bail out. Maybe Guillamo didn't call for time. He just bailed out before time was granted, and thus, since Ford hadn't stepped off, like you said, calling automatic ball is called. Runner on the move to second. Pitches down and away. Guillamo gets the throw off, but it's not in time. Ramirez is unable to drop a tag, and Viondel Peña, after being granted first base on automatic ball four call, steals second. Everybody is running today, both sides. You have Fayetteville, who's stolen two bases, been caught once. And the Fred Nats have now stolen three bases. They've been caught once. So 3-for-4 for the Fred Nats, 2-for-3 for Fayetteville. Breaking ball gets through. Guillamo goes to the backstop. And Viondel Peña heads to third base on a wild pitch.
So I look back at that full count automatic ball,
yeah.
And it's tough to tell because there's a little delay in seeing the pitch clock after. So I'm wondering if it hit zero even before Guillamo had motioned to call time, and that maybe explains as to why that he wasn't granted time.
The 1-2 pitch from Ford outside to Brady House, 2-2. Ford had the easiest series possible last week out in Kinston. He pitched in just one game. That was on May 25th. He recorded one out on one pitch. Perfect day for Casey. Perfect series. That was all. Pitch missed outside. And it's 3-2. His last extended outing was on the 21st, Sunday in Kannapolis, a couple of Sundays ago. He went an inning and two-thirds, gave up an earned run, didn't walk anybody, and struck out two Cannonballers hitters. Infield in. A 3-2 pitch to Brady House coming. And it's down to the dirt. Blocked by Guillamo. Keeps it in front of him. And keeps that runner at third steady. But Brady House draws a walk. Back-to-back ball fours issued by Casey Ford.
And this will prompt John Kovalik to head to the mound. An instance, really, where I think that automatic ball kind of rattled Ford a little bit. That last at-bat had the stolen base followed by a wild pitch. Probably still thinking about, you know, not getting an opportunity to throw that payoff pitch, and ends up pitching around House, which, all things considered, not the end of the world. You know, with a base open, if you're going to walk somebody, Brady House is probably a good option. But still, one out. You need one desperately. You got the cleanup hitter coming to the plate. This is a big opportunity right now for Fredericksburg to really bust this game wide open.
Yeah. It's funny, John Kovalik out there talking with Casey Ford. He had a great story for me regarding Casey and Kinston after he had that outing where he came on as a bridge pitcher from the bullpen, got one out on one pitch, and he said Casey knew he wasn't going out for the next inning, so Ford walks up to Kovalik and says, hey, I want to see all of the TrackMan data possible on my one pitch. I want you to break down my outing to the fullest. We'll go over it tomorrow. And so Kovalik has said he was planning on sitting down with Casey Ford and doing a debrief on his one-pitch outing. Give him all the advanced numbers. It was a strike. It was an out. Perfect strike percentage for Casey.
What was the FIP on that pitch?
Ford wanted to see it. No outing. Goes uncovered. And a first pitch breaking ball misses below the zone to Steven Williams.
Usually if you're breaking down one pitch, it's for all the wrong reasons.
Right. Casey wanted to see all the metrics on his one strike. Steven Williams, left-handed hitter, ready for the 1-0. And it misses down and inside. Two balls and no strikes. After walking consecutive hitters, Casey Ford has fallen behind 2-0, and now Freddy Guillamo, who had to step out of the crouch a moment ago and pick away some dirt from his eye, is now walking over to the dugout. This time he has an equipment issue. It's something with the webbing of the glove. He tosses aside one glove, gets a glove that looks like almost identical to the one he just tossed away, and he heads back behind the plate, crouches down. Maybe Casey Ford needed just a little bit of a pause. See if he can get into the zone. Two balls, no strikes. Here's the pitch. Inside to Steven Williams. He lifts his elbows out of the way. 94 on that one, so perhaps Ford reeling back, letting a little bit off of the velocity. Williams 1-for-2. Singled his last time up against Barry in the third. Came around to score a run. 3-0. Down to the dirt, and a four-pitch walk loads up the bases. Three straight walks for Ford.
Yeah, it's a tough outing so far for Ford. Got that quick pop-out on Jacob Young, but since then, command has just completely went away from him. Pitches himself into a bad situation. Now, if there's anyone who can get himself out of these situations, it's Casey Ford. We've seen him do it this season where he's put a lot of guys on, bases end up getting loaded, and he gets that strikeout pitch to get out of it. Another opportunity here to put himself to the test.
Brandon Bossier hit with runners in scoring position last inning. This ball gets through Guillamo, and he scuffles with it. He can't toss to Ford, and the run comes home from third. That was close enough to the plate for Guillamo to pick up and flip to Ford, drop a tag, save the run. But Guillamo, after he identified the ball, he was unable to grab it cleanly. And the throw never arrived, so Pena comes home on what they'll call a wild pitch. It was in the dirt. It's a 5-0 Frednats lead. The other runners have advanced. House is on third. Williams at second. Here's the 1-0 to Bossier, and he checks it one down and inside. Held the hands, and it's 2-0. Casey Ford has thrown seven straight pitches outside of the strike zone. And Fayetteville's bullpen is starting to loosen. Infield in, the 2-0. Down to the dirt, kicks away from Guillamo. This will bring home another run all the way to the backstop. Brady House cruises in, stomps on home plate, and it's 6-0 Frednats.
One of those nightmare innings right now for Fayetteville. Only two homes so far, but it just feels like it's been going on forever. Ford struggling to find the plate. Guillamo's had a tough inning. Equipment malfunctions, the ball that He bobbled behind the plate, so it's been a frustrating one so far, and really kind of night and day compared to what we saw yesterday pitching-wise.
Yeah, really to summarize the night it's been, the Frednats are 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position today. They don't have a hit with a runner on second or third, but they've scored 6 runs. Bossier takes inside again, 3-0. Ford in danger of walking his fourth straight and his second straight on 4 pitches. Here's the pitch, and rather it is a 3-1 count on Bossier. So forget everything I just said, and Ford gets a much-needed strike. Full count, 3-2. Or did the scoreboard have it wrong? Yeah, 3-2. Here's the offering. And it's chopped over towards first. Runner coming home. Loperfido goes to the plate. Tag not in time. Williams evades the tag from Guillamo. No out is recorded. And the Frednats have brought all three of the walks home. 7-0, a three-run fifth. Still just one out. Bossier now on first. It'll be another fielder's choice RBI for Brandon Bossier, his second of the day.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake by Loperfido from the start. And too much speed coming down the line from Williams. He got a good jump on the ball, high chopper. So you got to fire that thing home. You think he just should have taken the sure out at first, bit the bullet on that run scoring. There was really no chance, I think, from the start for them getting the runner at the plate.
Yeah, you're more better placed just giving up the run, taking nobody on two away. Sammy Infante nearly hit a home run back in the second inning. Here's the 1-0 pitch, and it just missed off the corner. So the runs today for the Nationals have come in a number of different ways. An error, a double steal, three RBI fielder's choices, and two wild pitches. The Frednats lead 7-0, but do not have an RBI hit in this game. 2-0 up and outside, and Ford has fallen behind. Three balls, and what did they call that, a strike? It was
did.
Called a strike.
Yep. It's a weird stat line, though, for Brandon Bossier, who's standing at first. 0-3, two RBIs.
That is odd. Down to the dirt, backhanded by Guillamo. 30 pitches now for Casey Ford. He has a 3-1 count on Samuel Infante. Most walks in a game this year for Casey Ford is tonight with three. He did a pretty good job of limiting them those last three outings. He hadn't walked a batter since May 13th coming into tonight. 3-1 home. Just off the outside, not by much. Guillamo tried to frame it, didn't get the call. And the season-high walk total continues to climb for Casey Ford. Four walks over his first six batters faced in this fifth.
You wonder, if you go back to that at-bat against Pena, had he gotten a chance to throw that payoff pitch, he struck him out.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different inning, potentially. So it's just an instance where a matter of seconds might have changed the outcome of an inning completely.
Yeah, I would have been looking at two outs, nobody on. Things have snowballed since that weird play. Ford spikes a breaking ball, misses in the dirt. Guillamo kicks it up the third baseline, and that'll hold the runners. Bossier on second, Infante on first. The Frednats up big 7-0. Fayetteville won yesterday 9-0. And then now they're on the other side of the scorecard. Hasn't been that power for the Frednats in this game, though. It's been the messiness. One ball, no strike pitch is up and in on Arias. There's a right-hander just about ready to go out there in the Fayetteville bullpen. Generally, John Kovalik, Joe Thon like to keep their pitchers to no more than 35 throws in an inning. Casey Ford getting ready to throw his 34th pitch of this fifth. Still just one out, force it all bases. The throw to Arias is up and inside. Casey Ford, who usually works with a lot of assertiveness out there on the mound, confidence, kind of shaking his head as he came down the slope and received that baseball from Guillamo. See if he can hit the target. Three balls and no strikes. Arias likely has the take sign. Here it comes. Up and in again. Fastball running away from Casey Ford, and he's walked five batters in the fifth inning to reload the bases and bring the manager, Joe Thon, out of the dugout.
Just not Casey's night.
Nope. Nope. And we've seen him at his best. Like we mentioned, last couple of outings, he's been very sharp. He hadn't walked anybody. He went 3 1/3 scoreless, giving up just one hit against Kannapolis on May 17th. But tonight will ultimately be one to forget for Casey. Fayetteville goes to the bullpen. Ford goes just a third of an inning but walks five, and it'll be a tough spot for this new right-hander to get out of. Bases loaded up, one away, and Fayetteville trailing 7-0 in the fifth. We're back in a moment on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
To your eyes, there is protection and there's peace the same. Burning your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say.
I wanna be free, I wanna just live inside my Cadillac, that is my shit. And I'll throw it up,
throw that up.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
In my C-A-D-I-L-L-A-C shit. Can't see me through my tent. I'm
fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 21, Jason Schroeder.
Old school like old English in that brown paper bag. I'm rolling in that same whip that my granddad had. Hello. Burning Mac would have been prouder. Looking down from heaven like Diana, stylish, smiling. Don't pay attention to the mileage. Can I hit the freeway illegally going on?
With the bases loaded and one out coming to the plate for the Nationals, the left fielder, number 26, TJ White.
So Jason Schroeder inherits a tough spot. Bases loaded and one out in the bottom of the fifth inning. He faces left-handed batter TJ White. Casey Ford has given up three earned runs in his fifth, five walks, and he departs after loading up the bases. So everybody aboard to his record. Schroeder trying to help save Casey's ERA tonight. TJ White in a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch from Schroeder. And he goes center cut with a fastball. 94, and it's 1-1 on White. Schroeder an 0-3 record at 9.28 ERA. This is his 11th appearance out of the bullpen this year. 10 2/3 total innings of work. 11 earned runs. He's walked 20, struck out 13. The pitch down and away. 2-1 on TJ White, the eight hitter. He has drawn a walk. Stole a base in the second, was left on, and rolled out to Loperfido his last time in the fourth. Steps in 0-1. Third trip to the plate tonight. Schroeder out of the stretch, fires. And this ball is driven out to right center field. That will send Corona back. He is looking up. It is gone. A grand slam. TJ White has gone yard to right center. And the Fred Nats are blowing up the scoreboard tonight. One and make it 11-0 on TJ White's bomb out to right center.
Well, Jason Schroeder kind of got a bit of a taste of what Fabricio Reyna had gone through a couple of times this season, where he came into a tough situation, bases loaded. Just, and you don't really blame Schroeder, just trying to get some strikes over the plate after, you know, five walks in the inning coming from Ford. So he was just trying to make something happen, and unfortunately, TJ White's not someone you want to make a mistake to, and he did just that, and White made him pay.
Pitches down low to Alan Barrios, and it's one ball and no strikes. Schroeder, although the walks have been an issue for him this year, the home runs had not been. Over 10 2/3, 10 outings, he had yet to give up a home run this year. But the grand slam gets him, and the grand slams have been getting the Woodpeckers all year long. That is the fourth granny that they have given up this season. A couple by Fabricio Reyna. Schroeder, and who else, Colin? You got that? On your mind?
I'm going to go look that up now.
It's in the old game notes. Here's a pop-up backing out of play. I believe it was on the road, and I believe it was in Charleston, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, it was on the road. I know that. This was the second one given up at home. The first was to Nathan Hickey in extra innings.
That's
in
right.
The series opener, in fact.
Here's the 2-1 pitch to Barrios, lofted along the left field line. Corona make it Cerny sprinting over, and in foul territory he makes the grab, and a Wednesday night crowd breathes a sigh of relief after that fly out. Ends a long stretch of run scoring. Seven runs have come home for the Fred Nats in this fifth. 11 runs on five total hits.
Not too often you see innings like that take place, especially at home, and just one of those nights right now for Fayetteville, kind of water finding its level after last night's game.
Woodpeckers really have not been part of a game where they're down by this many runs since opening weekend. 1-0 pitch is a fastball that misses inside. 2-0 on Jacob Young. That was a series where they gave up 40 runs to the Kannapolis Cannonballers over three games. They gave up 18 runs on a Sunday game. Lost by, I believe, 12 that game. So it has not been really since opening weekend when Fayetteville was in this disheartening of a ball game. Two runs in the Fred Nats second, two in the third, seven more here in the fifth on just one hit. A grand slam and a fastball strike. Schroeder trying to recover and gets it to 3-1.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. I remember back in the early 2000s, Oakland Athletics trying to make history, 20th straight victory. They blew an 11-0 lead in that game to Kansas City.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be down 11-0 than up 11-0 and blow it.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, granted,
Fayetteville at least has the chance to try and do that tonight. Come back from 11-0 down. Schroeder issues a walk, and Jacob Young heads to first.
Granted, the 11-0 lead being blown was followed by maybe the most significant moment in recent Oakland Athletics history. Scott Hatterberg with the walk-off home run ended up making it a 20-game win streak and tying an American League record, which has since been broken by Cleveland a few years later. I believe it was 2016 or 17. Then Indians won a number of games in a row.
Nice play by Leo Stanley Molina up the middle of the diamond, spearing a Yandel Pena liner. And a highlight to end a turbulent fifth for Fayetteville pitching. Casey Ford gets hit with six earned runs in the fifth, one by Schroeder on the grand slam to T.J. White. The Fred Nats lead 11-0 as we go bottom five on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
By Wake Research. T. Bryant has our contestant on the dugout. Take it away, T.
All right, Alyssa, you ready for this one? Hey, let's give it up for Alyssa. She just graduated yesterday from Douglas Byrd High School. Go Eagles. Way to go. Way to go, queen. All right, here we go. False or fact? Okay, 45% of dogs sleep in their owner's bed.
That's a fact.
She's pretty sure that's a fact. Yeah, probably a little higher than that, right? Maybe. Yep, there we go. She was right. All right, here we go. Dogs are colorblind. Is that true?
That's a fact.
Okay, she's like really confident about this thing. Okay, she said that is a fact. No! I thought it was true, too. Don't tell nobody. All right, cool. All right, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth. Oh.
That, I think that's a fact.
I think that's a fact. I don't know. They just got a toilet and stuff. Yeah, nah. Right. All right, 70% of people sign their dog's name on holiday cards, yeah.
I don't think so. I think that's false.
Yeah, you think that's false? I don't know. I think they do. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, I mean, they take the pictures and everything with the dogs. It's all good. We got another one for her. Nah, that's it. Back to false. Let's give it up for Alyssa. Way to go. Thank you.
Back on the mound for the Nationals, Andrew Alvarez. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the second baseman, number 22, Yuris Ramirez.
A night where Fayetteville can only try and take some quality at bats the rest of the way. 11-0 after a seven-run top of the fifth put together by the Fred Nats. Only one hit in that inning, a grand slam from T.J. White. Yuris Ramirez, gets to work against Andrew Alvarez. And if you're on the pitching side of a ball game like this, your job is just to throw some strikes, get some outs, keep the line moving. Ramirez in a 1-1 count to start the inning. He'll be followed by Rainier Rivas and then Freddy Guillamo. The changeup misses below the zone, and it's 2-1. Been a moment since Andrew Alvarez was on the hill. That was in the fourth, where he won 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts. The pitch, a check swing on a breaking ball. They appeal up the first baseline, and Brian Laws says that Ramirez held up. Urias was grazed in the back by a Mason Denneberg fastball in the second inning. The pitch holds off but takes a strike. 3-2 on Urias.
I believe Alvarez was in the dugout for almost a half hour, which in the pitch clock age must seem like an eternity.
Payoff is a breaking ball down and inside, and Alvarez gives up his first base runner tonight. A leadoff walk to Ramirez. He's been aboard twice, doesn't have an at-bat to show for it, but hit by a pitch and a walk. And now it's Rainier Rivas. 11-0. You look at the line scores, 11 runs, 5 hits, no errors. Woodpeckers at this stage, no runs, no hits. So Fred Nats on the pitching side of things also pretty dominant. Woodpeckers still looking for that first base hit tonight. And Rainier Rivas cuts underneath a fastball. So perhaps you start there, Colin. Get that hit in the column and see if some runs can follow it up. Down and outside.
Yeah, looking on the hits on the other side, I think that's the craziest part about that top of the fifth inning. 7 runs on one hit, and the one hit was a grand slam.
Yeah. The pitch kicks away from Barrios and gets to the backstop. A getaway breaking ball out of the left hand of Andrew Alvarez, and Yuri Ramirez will head down to second base. Fayetteville gets a man in scoring position. First time they've had that since the first inning. You do look back at that bottom of the first and wonder how the tone of the game might have carried on if Fayetteville got into the run column right away. They had a couple of walks, runners on second and third, but Tyler Whitaker grounded out to end that early scoring opportunity. Rivas takes a high strike on a 92-mile-per-hour fastball, and it's 2-2. Alvarez now with 41 strikeouts on the season, over just 26 and two-thirds, and Rivas chases way outside of the zone, got fooled with a breaking ball, must have been looking for something else. Make it 42 Ks for Andrew Alvarez now, and just over... just short of 28 innings of work is where he's at the moment. So he's been racking up those strikeouts this year. Limited the walks to just 12. And Freddy Guillamo steps in with one away. Ramirez on second. The pitch. He's late swinging at a fastball. With the lopsided score, we'll take a peek at what other competitive ball games are going on around the majors and Astros affiliate system. Carolina League action as well. Change up below the zone, and it's 0-2.
Yeah, looking specifically at the Carolina League, all these other games, this is the real only real blowout going on. There's been a lot of close games currently in the middle and late innings right now up and down the Carolinas.
Pitch down and inside on Guillamo. Gets the count to 1-2.
2-0 lead currently for Myrtle Beach over Delmarva. Delmarva trying to make it back-to-back victories, so they'll have to come from behind on the road.
That's who the Woodpeckers will see next, the Delmarva Shorebirds. 1-2 pitch. Bounced out towards first base. Brazier's circling around it. He picks up and underhand flips to his covering pitcher, Andrew Alvarez. And Guillamo is retired. Urias Ramirez makes it down to third. Bossier goes to Alvarez, and that'll bring it to the top of the order with Kennedy Corona.
Lynchburg 5-3 ahead of Carolina and the Mudcats. That game in the bottom of the sixth inning up in Virginia.
Pitch low to Kennedy. He's trying an end to 0-for-2 night. Couple of strikeouts. A 12-game hitting streak on the line for Kennedy Corona. Tied for the longest by any Fayetteville player this year, tied with Tyler Whitaker. This streak, though, for Kennedy, been more impressive than the one that Tyler put together. That Tyler Whitaker streak had just 13 hits across 12 games. Kennedy has, feels like, 13 home runs over that stretch. He's been mashing the ball. Four-hit game yesterday. First player to accomplish that in 2022.
21 for 50 over that hit streak.
Yeah. 1-2 pitch, and Corona hits a soft liner out to second. Pena sits back on it, takes a step forward, makes the grab. And Andrew Alvarez works around a leadoff walk, goes 1-2-3 afterward, and strands another Fayetteville runner down on third base. Woodpeckers have left three in scoring position through five. We head to the sixth, an 11-0 Fred Nance lead.
Staff Sergeant Peter Forthover is from Butler, Ohio. He served for 21 years in the U.S. Army as a heavy equipment repairman and was deployed to Iraq from 2009 to 2010. He now enjoys his retirement by spending time with his wife. Fans, let's hear it for Staff Sergeant Peter Forthover. Thank you for your service.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart. And it's
fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 41, Carlos Calderon. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Nationals, the shortstop, number 28, Brady House.
Brady House leads it off against Carlos Calderon in the sixth inning. Lines it the opposite way out to right for the backpedaling Rainier Rivas, and he brings it in at the chest. One pitch, one out for Carlos Calderon. He is the third reliever and fourth arm into this game. 2-1 record, 4.33 ERA. He's pitching in his 10th game, 7th out of the bullpen. Make it 6th out of the bullpen. 35 and a third total innings. He's given up 17 earned runs, 20 walks, and 43 strikeouts. Steven Williams, lefty, takes up and outside. 1-0. Lopsided affair tonight. 11-0. Fredericksburg coming off a 7-run fifth inning where they had just one hit, a grand slam from T.J. White. Williams takes below the zone, and it's 2-0. So Calderon now will hope to provide a little bit of length. He's a guy that could take up the final four innings if he keeps it efficient. 2-0 pitch outside, and it's 3-0. Casey Ford took the brunt of that fifth, taking 6 of the 7 earned runs. Jason Schroeder inherited 3, gave up the T.J. White grand slam. So just 1 run to his line over 2/3 of an inning. Casey Ford gets the 6 earned over 1/3 of an inning. 4-pitch walk given up to Steven Williams after the Brady House lineout. Williams is on for a third time. Single and a pair of walks, and now Brandon Bossier, first baseman and left-handed hitter.
I think the most wild thing about that fifth inning, Chappie, is just the fact that 7 consecutive runners came across to score for the Fred Nats.
Yeah, Viondel Pena all the way through T.J. White. The 2-8 in the order all scored. First pitch to Calderon, missed just off the outside. Looked like the changeup to start out Bossier, and it's 1-0. We last saw Calderon on the mound back on May 26th. That was on the road in Down East. Short leadoff of first for Williams. The pitch. Swing at a changeup. Bossier waves over top, and it's 1-1. In that game, Calderon went four innings, gave up two earned runs, four hits, only issued one walk, struck out two, which was the fewest strikeouts in a game this year for Carlos. Did allow a home run and a liner scorched foul along the first base side by Bossier, gets the count to 1-2. You mentioned the Delmarva Shorebirds score in the last half inning, Colin. That's where Fayetteville heads next, up to the Delmarva Peninsula. And that'll be the first meeting between the Woodpeckers and the Shorebirds in the franchise history of both teams. Brandon Bossier ready. 1-2 pitch is a little low. And it's 2-2. In 2019, they were in different leagues. Fayetteville in the Carolina League, Delmarva in the South Atlantic League. Last year, 2021, they didn't play each other at all in the regular season schedule. Pitch up and outside. Neither of the teams made the postseason, so next week will be the first time the Astros affiliate faces the Baltimore Orioles affiliate. A lot of good prospects in the Baltimore system. Oh, yeah. They're regarded as the number one overall farm system in baseball entering this year. A lot of those guys, though, at the tippy top. 3-2 pitch, fouled back. You have Adley Rutschman, who's now broken into the big leagues, former Oregon State catcher, former first overall draft pick. Grayson Rodriguez, who's their number one overall pitching prospect at AAA Norfolk.
He's got some nasty stuff.
He does. Stash him on your fantasy baseball dynasty bench if you're in a league. Pitch outside, and Bossier has drawn a walk. Consecutive free passes given up by Carlos Calderon.
D.L. Hall, another guy that should be ready soon, a left-handed arm, the number 5 prospect in the system. So you mentioned, Chappie, a lot of these guys slowly but surely making their way up. Kyle Stauer is another outfielder in AAA, left-handed hitting bat. Another reinforcement on the way. Great time to rebuild, too, with your division at its best right now.
Sammy Infante takes the first pitch a little bit off of the outside corner. The walks continue to rack up tonight for Fayetteville, who've minimized the walks over the last couple of weeks. Really, since the month of April, they've been much more efficient at strike throwing, but still lead the Carolina League. Tonight, they've given up 9 walks over 5 1/3. That have helped aid along those 11 runs. Infante pops the pitch back and onto the roof of Segra Stadium. It's 1-1. Infante has doubled, reached on a fielder's choice, drawn a walk, scored twice, and driven in a run. Force at all bases, and the 1-1 pitch is taken upper inside corner, a changeup for strike two.
And the most enticing player to watch, though, for Delmarva right now, Heston Kerstad, a top 10 pick from last year's draft.
What do they have him ranked in the system right now?
Number 9 currently. Number 9. Really tells
the whole story. How strong their system is, yeah. 1-2 pitch, and got him waving out in front. Good breaking ball by Calderon. It's 1, and down goes Infante. 2 outs.
Excuse me, Kerstad was actually 2020, and he was taken second overall out of Arkansas. That really talented Razorbacks team. So he was out in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Andre Arias, left-handed hitter, is up. Runners at first and second. The pitch is inside. 1-0 on Arias. He's reached on that air by Rivas on the liner in right field. Lined out to center field. Walked and scored. Also stolen a base. The 1-0 pitch lays off, but it's called to strike on the upper outside corner. Zone might have expanded a little bit there for Shea Graham. Calderon takes it, and it's 1-1.
Yeah, that 2020 draft was kind to college guys at the start of it. Of course, Spencer Torkelson out of your alma mater going first
ASU
overall.
Swinging a fly ball hit out into right field. Out of play it goes. I think it's telling just how hard it is to hit in the modern-day major leagues when you see guys like Torkelson and a lot of other top-level prospects struggling to hit in the big leagues. I think Jeremy Peña right now might have the best average out of all first-year players, helping him lead the AL Rookie of the Year conversation. Andre Arias in a 1-2 count. Steps out of the way of a breaking ball way out in front of the plate. Carlos Calderon has one, gets squirrely on him. Both runners advance easily. Williams to third and Bossier to second base.
Yeah, Jared Kelenic, another guy who struggled a bit since getting called up. I think he actually got sent down to AAA last month.
Yeah, he's back in AAA. Even Julio Rodriguez has had his ups and downs. 2-2 coming home, and it misses outside. Three balls and two strikes the count. Bobby Witt Jr., I guess the perfect example of a guy who really couldn't figure out major league pitching over the first month and a half, starting to warm up a bit, but that's baseball's top prospect that really struggled breaking in after a dominant year in AAA. High pop fly, hit over to the first base side warning track. Loperfido right in front of his teammates on the railing, has to lunge back at the very last moment. That ball was playing tricks on him in the nighttime sky. He battles the stadium lights but brings it in and ends the inning. So the Fred Nats are held scoreless after the long fifth inning, a scoreless sixth. They leave two in scoring position. Bottom of the inning coming up, 11-0 Nationals.
Kiss Cam.
My mama told me, she said, son, please beware. There's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. As she told me, it can break your heart out. Little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself phoning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell ya, I can't sleep at night. I'm wanting to roll the tide. I tried so hard to convince myself that this feeling just can't be right.
Mi momento llegará, no me desesperaré, con mi show se llenarán, ahora hay que pagar.
Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leos Danny Molina.
Bottom of the sixth inning, Fayetteville is trailing 11-0, and Leos Danny Molina trying to get Fayetteville their first hit of the day. Here's a bouncer that misplays Peña. He knocked it off of his glove, gets out into shallow left, and Molina will make it into second base. That was a tricky ball to deal with and will likely go down as Fayetteville's first hit. And Wednesday crowd recognizing that, they offer up a little cheer. Fayetteville likely to have a one in the hit column. I don't know how Peña plays that one cleanly. It was a huge bouncer that just took some monstrous hops up the middle of the diamond, and Peña tried to backhand it, but that's a ball that you're usually not going to be able to make a play on as a fielder. You're kind of going in blind on a ball like that.
Yeah, what officially goes on the board is the first hit.
All right, so no hit bid dies between Mason Denneberg and Andrew Alvarez at the start of the sixth. Now Fayetteville can try and get some runs on the board. Lefty on lefty as Loperfido steadies, and after Alvarez picks up the leg, he looks the runner back. Loperfido is struck out and lined out to center. Here's the 1-0, and a slider missed off the outside. Two balls and no strikes.
They do only give Molina a single, though, and then they just said he advanced to second on the play, which is interesting.
Okay. 2-0 pitch. Loperfido fouls it back. 2-1. In the fifth, Fayetteville had a runner on third base. Yuris Ramirez made it down, then three straight outs left him stranded. 2-1 home. Loperfido flies it the opposite way. Sprinting back is White. He's onto the warning track. It's over his head, and it one hops over the wall. That will grant Molina home plate, and the Woodpeckers are on the board for the first time tonight. Mercifully, Joey Loperfido breaks up the shutout moments after Molina breaks up the no-hitter. It's 11-1.
Good job from Loperfido hitting the ball the other way, too. Didn't look like he got all of it, but it kept slicing away from the left fielder White. He kept running and ran out of room, hit off the warning track, up over the wall. Just what Molina needed to come on home, and Woodpeckers not going down quietly.
Logan Cerny steadies into the right side. First pitch from Alvarez is a knee-level fastball called a strike. And it's 0-1. For Joey Loperfido, that is his 10th double of the year. He becomes the first Fayetteville bat to reach double digits in the doubles column. Cerny swings over a curve, and it's 0-2. He's also driven in his 20th run of the year. Kennedy Corona still leading the club with 25, but Loperfido now with sole possession of second place in the RBI race. Passes up Quincy Hamilton and Tyler Whitaker, who each had 19. Breaking ball down and in on Cerny. 1-2.
25 straight games reaching base.
That's right.
Started on May 1st. Here we are at June 1st, still chugging along.
And he is one game away from tying a franchise record. Look down to second base. 1-2 pitch to Cerny down to the dirt. Barrios keeps it in front of him. If he gets on base in his next game, assuming he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, if not tomorrow, then Friday, he'll tie Miguel Palma for the longest on-base streak in franchise history. Palma reached in 26 straight between the end of 2021 and the start of 2022. Those streaks carry over year after year. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and it is fouled straight back to keep it at 2-2 on Cerny.
Crazy thing, Loperfido had two hit streaks during this 25-game stretch that have both been two of the five longest of the season, a 9-game hit streak and an 8-game hit streak.
See if Andrew Alvarez gives Cerny another breaking ball. He's seen a lot of off-speed in this at-bat. Time called at the plate, though, before Logan sees the pitch. Fayetteville now with a run on two base hits, both of them coming here in the sixth inning. A Molina single, a Loperfido ground rule double to left. 2-2 home. Below the zone, good eye by Cerny. Saw the change up at 85 and didn't want to go after it. Fills things up 3-2. On deck is Tyler Whitaker. Middle infield press back, corners as well. Outfield straight up against Cerny. Lasered one out into right his last time up in the fourth. Chops this out to Brady House at short. He fields one hopper to first, not in time. Logan Cerny hustles his way up the line, earns himself an infield single. And after no hits over the first five innings, Fayetteville has three straight knocks against Alvarez and runners on the corners with nobody out.
Decent crowd still sticking around, and they are loud right now. Three straight hits to open the inning. Woodpeckers getting into that rhythm offensively. And at the very least, you might not be able to come all the way back down 11 runs, but at the end of the day, you lose this game, you're still going to be even in the series. Four games left in the series. Might as well take as much momentum as you can into Thursday.
Fred Nats pitching coach Joel Hanrahan was out at the mound a ton yesterday. Tonight he's been non-existent, but we see him out there for the first time talking with Alvarez before Tyler Whitaker gets ready to step into the box. Fayetteville has scored to bring it to a 10-run game, small bites, and got a chance to bring home a couple more. Would really need, at this stage, Colin, I'm thinking two big-time rallies to make this game start to feel interesting. This one here in the sixth, first real chance they've had to string together base hits. You want to take advantage of it, score as many as you can. Then you see what you can do in the back third of the ball game against some other arms in the Fred Nats bullpen.
At the very least, you're putting some pressure on the Nationals to make some big-time pitches in tough spots. Obviously, that's what Fayetteville struggled with earlier in the ball game. Fredericksburg struggled with it yesterday, so you know that they're susceptible to putting themselves in some tough spots and having trouble pitching out of them.
Tyler Whitaker's at bat begins with strike one. Saw a changeup bottom corner of the zone. 0-1. Middle infield pinching towards the bag as Whitaker swings and misses at a changeup. And it's quickly, no balls and two strikes. Witt tonight is grounded out to third, struck out swinging. That swing and miss was against Alvarez in the fourth, his first strikeout of the night. He throws the 0-2. Whitaker chops it back out to Brady House. He's backing up in the hole. It's short. He fields, goes to second, the short route. And as Cerny stumbles off of the bag and the tag is applied, he kept a foot on. He's safe, as is Tyler Whitaker, and he comes up with an infield bouncing single. Four straight base hits against Andrew Alvarez, and the run came home to score in the process. Joey Loperfido crosses. It's now 11-2.
Put the ball in play. Good things are happening. Nice high chopper from Whitaker. House, really, a couple of tough plays for Brady House to try and make in this inning. I mean, he had no time to make that throw to even second, and it was legged out.
The Sky lines it through the left side. They'll send Cerny around third. He will score without a throw. White goes to third base. Five straight Fayetteville hits have added three runs, and it's now an eight-run game, 11-3.
Energy really changing here at Segra Stadium. They've gotten to Alvarez in this inning big time, and now the real question is how long until we see some action in the Nationals' bullpen.
Yeah, surprised to not see an arm up and going once Joel Hanrahan went out there. Andrew Alvarez starting Yuri's Ramirez with a pitch down low. What a change in feel. Most runs given up in an outing this year for Alvarez is five. That was in his 2022 debut. Ramirez lines it to third. It pops in and out of the glove of White. He'll run up the baseline, tag Whitaker, go to second, and complete a double play. Yuri's Ramirez almost had the sixth straight base hit of the inning. A laser right to White, one of the harder hit balls this inning, in fact. Pops out of his glove, and I guess that was a good thing for White. He ends up getting multiple outs because of that. Tags out the runner, and he made that catch. Runners would have retreated, or at least you probably don't tag out Whitaker in the baseline.
That was pretty much a concrete example of why the infield fly rule exists. Unfortunately, you can't enforce it on a line drive.
On a line drive, yep. And now Rainer Rivas with two outs takes one inside for ball one. Much needed couple of outs for Alvarez, and that one is shot foul over our heads in the booth. 1-1 on Rivas.
It's a tough way to really kind of calm down the inning if you're Fayetteville. Hard hit ball right at the third baseman and leads to two outs.
Breaking ball low to run it to 2-1 on Rivas. The three runs given up now by Alvarez are the second most in an appearance this year. 50 pitches now for the lefty. Rivas swings and misses. 2-2.
Sometimes that's all it takes as a pitcher. You get a big play in the field after giving up a few runs in the inning, and you can get all that rhythm back on the mound.
And down he goes swinging. Rivas strikes out on a 2-2 pitch from Andrew Alvarez, and after giving up five straight hits and three runs, he gets out of it thanks to a little bit of a fluky double play and the K, stranding a Fayetteville base runner. But the Woodpeckers put together their first rally of the night. They break up the no-hitter, and through six, they trail 11-3 to the Fred Nats.
By Tito's Handmade Vodka. Cheap Wright is back on the concourse for the dugout with our furry friends. Take it away, T.
All right, here we go. It's time to announce the winner of our dog contest today, but let me reintroduce you to our contestants. Dog number one is a golden retriever. His name is Simba. Dog number two is a Roddy Husky, and that is Bailey. Dog number three right here is Alex, and that is American Foxhound. And here is Bon Jovi, a Schnauzer mix, okay? Are you guys ready for the winner? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Congratulations to winner number one, the Golden Retriever, Simba. Let's give it up for all our contestants. Congratulations.
Fans, it's last call for any alcohol purchases at our concession stands. Sales will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Carlos Calderon. Leading off the top of the seventh inning for the Nationals, the left fielder, number 26, TJ White.
Well, if Fayetteville can piece together three more three-run rallies, they'll win this game. It is 11-3 as we go to the top of the seventh. TJ White fouls away the first pitch from Carlos Calderon, and to take you through the next couple innings, let's throw back to Colin Casey.
Thanks, Chappie. Just need to keep getting into field goal range.
That's right.
Chip away at this lead. TJ White, who's responsible for a lot of the damage done, digs in, and he's got a 1-1 count. Had that grand slam in the fifth inning off of Jason Schroeder that really blew this game wide open, although it was already 7-0 at that point. Then making it 11-0. Fastball is in there, actually a breaking ball, 1-2. The Houston Astros in action earlier this afternoon, count now 2-2. Won a 5-4 game against the Oakland Athletics out in California. Proved a 33-18 on the season, still atop the AL West, as they have been for quite some time now, every single year. That one's over for Calderon, and White goes down looking. First time he struck out tonight. And there's one away to begin the seventh.
Jeremy Pena was 2-for-5 today, one of two Astros with multiple hits. Big day for Alvarez.
Seems like that's been a common occurrence lately. Three RBIs. He had a couple of home runs against Oakland in the opener of the series on Monday.
One of those hits for Pena, by the way, was a double.
Continuing to make a case for AL Rookie of the Year as Alan Berrios watches ball one. Berrios waits and watches now strike one. He's 0-for-3 today. Strikeout, a pop out, and a fly out thus far.
If Pena wins AL Rookie of the Year, we got to get him one of those life-size stickers that we can put on a wall somewhere here in Segra.
Yeah.
Former Woodpecker, Jeremy Pena, AL Rookie of the Year.
Seems like there's just more and more of those guys carving their paths towards Major League Baseball every year. Fayetteville being really the launching point for a lot of these great careers, and a big reason why the Astros dynasty, so to speak, hasn't really slowed down much. Perennial pennant chasing team, as there's a pitch in for a called strike three. So back-to-back strikeout looking for Carlos Calderon. A great start to the inning, and two up, two down for Fredericksburg. Lineup card turns over. This will be the fifth time through the order. Jacob Young, who is 0-for-3 with just a walk, digs in. He watches strike one. One other game has gone final. or a couple others have gone final. Braves 6-0 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Two teams trying to get back over 500. Count now 1-1. Phillies able to hold on and beat the San Francisco Giants 6-5. It's been a real frustrating season so far for the Phils. Fouled off 1-2 to Young. One of the cool stories, though, that could be developing with the Phillies is former number one overall pick Mark Appel has had a great season in Lehigh Valley in AAA. ERA of 2.11. Starting to seem like he might get that call to the major league level, which has been a decade in the making for Appel, as there's a fastball just outside. Former Houston Astro minor leaguer as well. Spent some time in Corpus Christi. A couple of seasons there, and then eventually found his way over with the Phillies organization. Count now full 3-2. But he is still waiting to make his major league debut.
What year was he drafted? Do you have that in front of you?
Payoff pitch is fouled off. He was taken, I believe it was 2012. I know he was drafted twice. So he was actually drafted out of high school in 2009 before attending Stanford and drafted first overall in 2012, a year after Correa. Payoff pitch just misses for ball four, and Young coaxes his second walk of the game. Appel, 30 years old, a Houston native. Turns 31 in July. Actually, correction, he was drafted first overall in 2013. He was projected to go first overall in 2012. Ended up going eighth overall to Pittsburgh. So he was drafted three times.
Didn't sign that year against for Pittsburgh in 2012.
Deandel Pena ducks out of the way of a fastball for ball one and returned to the Phillies last year in March to attempt a comeback. And safe to say, it has been successful so far. Fastball up and away. He actually stepped away from baseball in 2018, the age of just 26. But he's come back, and it's looking like he might be able to finally fulfill that dream that he's been on quite the journey to finally make it to the major league level. 2-0, the pitch to Pena. That went outside again from Calderon. There are some guys who are drafted that high that never even sniff the major league level. So for him to not give up, definitely a real sign of his relentlessness pursuing his dream. As there's another walk, a four-pitch walk to Pena. Back-to-back free passes put runners at first and second with two outs here on the top of the seventh.
Yeah, and we saw that to some degree today, Colin, a little bit on a smaller scale with the Prednats starter, Mason Denneberg.
Right.
A couple of big surgeries, shoulder, Tommy John after the first-round draft selection. He probably has similar doubts in his mind going through all that recovery of, will I get to pursue pro baseball at the highest level? Will I make it to the big leagues? Got to know Drew Rasmussen's story pretty well in Biloxi back in 2019 when he was AA with the Brewers. He's a double Tommy John recipient out of Oregon State.
Chopper right side. Loperfido underhands to Calderon, and that will do it. So a couple of two-out walks do not faze Carlos Calderon. He's able to complete a scoreless top of the seventh inning. It's stretch time in Fayetteville. The Woodpeckers look to chip away some more, an 11-3 deficit here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take buy me some. I so it's Root Packers. Sing it loud at the old. Atta boy, Packers, atta boy.
But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? But I'd been forgotten, I'd
Leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 4, Freddie Guillamo.
Freddie Guillamo set to begin the bottom of the seventh. 9-1-2 hitters due up for Fayetteville. They trail 11-3 to the Fredericksburg Nationals, who are trying to exact some revenge after being shut out 9-0 yesterday in the series opener. First pitch swung on for strike one. Then a fastball misses inside to even the count. Guillamo 0-2, strikeout and a ground out. We were talking before the break about some of the former Astros high picks during the seasons in which they struggled. 2-1. Another one, Brady Aiken, one of the more interesting notes in Astros history. He was taken first overall in 2014. Didn't end up signing, though. There was a big dispute over a signing bonus, which also was complicated further by elbow issues he had as a left-handed pitcher. 3-1 count now to Guillamo, so he doesn't end up signing, becomes the first player since 1983 that was drafted first overall to not sign with the team they were drafted by, as the 3-1 is in to fill the count. So as a result, the Astros ended up getting the second overall pick as compensation in the 2015 draft. Only turned into Alex Bregman, no big deal. As the 3-2 just misses, and Guillamo heads to first via the leadoff walk. So in the end, safe to say it worked out for Houston. After having three straight number one overall picks.
Brady Aiken is last got released. He was with the Lake County Captains. On the injured list, though, all of 2021, released in October. So right now he's a free agent. He made it as high as high A, ended up being drafted in 2015, 17th overall pick after the Houston saga by the, at the time, Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, it's just an instance where never really got healthy after that initial elbow injury. Mm-hmm. Even with all the modern medicine, it still happens. There's a grounder to short, flip to second for one. On to first is in time. So Kennedy Corona grounds into a 6-4-3 double play. Leadoff walk drawn by Guillamo is erased, and just like that, the bases are empty with two down.
Hit streak will be in a little bit of jeopardy for Kennedy. He'll need some guys to get on base, rally a little bit in the eighth, and maybe give him another chance to swing it in the ninth.
Leo Molina digs in, watches one inside. He's reached base twice tonight. Had that first hit of the ball game last inning. Came around to score the first run of the game. Also drew a walk back in the first. Here he's out in front of a breaking ball from Andrew Alvarez, who's still out there working on his fourth inning, trying to wrap it up here and put himself in a good position to pick up a victory tonight. That ball bounces in the dirt. 2-1, and I think the funny thing, one last touch on those first overall picks, Houston didn't pick first overall in 2011 as a check swing, and Molina did go around 2-2. Houston didn't pick first overall in 2011, but Pittsburgh did, and they drafted Garrett Cole, who was eventually traded to the Houston Astros. Had some really strong seasons with them before signing that big contract with the New York Yankees. Fastball up and away, and the count is now full.
Astros get a compensatory pick for him signing that contract, and hello, Alex Santos.
Yeah. It's just a never-ending cycle. Yeah. Ground ball to short, House fields it. off balance throw. It gets away. And Molina is safe. But Molina actually goes back to first base. And I'll tell you why I think Chappie. I don't think he ever touched first when he first ran down the line. It looked like he was trying to dodge the throw from House. So he doesn't even bother trying to round it to go to second. And he just heads back to first safely, reaching base. And that one will be ruled an error on House. E6. Here's Joey Loperfido, doubled home a run his last time in the sixth. Lefty against lefty once more, and he fouls it off himself in the batter's box. And for Houston, they will get their first and second round picks back this upcoming draft in July, so that's a welcome sight for a farm system that... There's a called strike. Farm system that still has a lot of talent up and down, but when you keep sending all that talent to the major league level, you can be stretched a little bit thin. So they're looking forward to that draft. A wild pitch gets away from the catcher, Barrios, and easily up to second base heads Molina. Looking elsewhere around Major League Baseball. 14-1 victory for the Miami Marlins over Colorado out at Coors Field. Marlins pick up their 20th victory of the season. Alvarez has Loperfido fooled. He fouls that pitch off. 5-2 victory for St. Louis over the Padres. Two teams battling for supremacy in the NL. Two teams looking like they're well on their way to the playoffs, both well above 500, but again, still early in the season. Mets continue to stay red hot, 5-0 winners over the Washington Nationals. Chopper heads on towards the tarp down the right field line.
That Marlins-Rockies game, by the way, Colin, game one of a doubleheader. Game two right now is in the bottom of the sixth out of Coors Field. It's 11-10.
What a game that must be right now to be at.
Ryan McMahon, a three-run triple in that game for the Rockies. Jesus Sanchez hit a 460-foot home run.
Chopper up the middle by Loperfido. This will be a tough play. Loperfido is going to leg it out. Molina pulls up at third. So an infield single for Loperfido, his second hit of the ball game, and the Woodpeckers are threatening with runners at the corners and two outs. That one just kind of into no man's land behind the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, that's kind of how Fayetteville's been getting their hits since the sixth inning. A lot of bouncing balls and difficult spots in the infield. It hasn't been gappers. Loperfido has the farthest hit today, which was the ground rule double in the sixth inning. Get a couple runs here. Give yourself a chance to rally in the eighth and the ninth. Could make things interesting.
Logan Cerny watches ball one in the dirt.
If you hit a home run here and you're Logan Cerny, I'm saying game on. Yeah. Back-to-back three-run innings. Six outs to play with.
We've seen this Woodpeckers lineup be able to get hot quickly, put up several runs in an inning. Chopper up the middle, shading towards second, and stepping on the bag is Pena. So a hard-hit ball, but all for naught. Once again, a couple stranded by Fayetteville. And we head to the eighth with the Fredericksburg Nationals up 11-3 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
T. Bright has our contestant down on the dugout. Take it away, T.
All right, Abigail, you ready? All right, let's do this. Abigail's heading to her senior year at East Carolina University. Go, girl. All right, here we go. So you guys are going to help her out. This is how it works. You have to guess how many people are here tonight, okay? Here we go. A, B, or C. What do you guys think? I hear some B's. Okay, what do you think?
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with the crowd? Okay, let's go with the crowd tonight. She's going to go with B. Is she right? Oh, man. Don't go with the crowd next time, all right? It is A. Let's give it up for Abigail, everybody. Thank you, Abigail. So glad you came here. I'm still a sucker for corn. No, I never changed that. Your body is paying mama, but where your brain's at? Still the same cat. When I was young, I'm running with bad boys. But now I'm older, hot and swole, running with bad boys. That's right.
Nelly's son, Manolo's,
back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Carlos Calderon. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Nationals, the designated hitter, number 41, Steven Williams.
To the eighth we go from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Colin Casey, Andrew Chapman bringing you coverage here on this Wednesday night of baseball. Second of six games between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Fred Nats. Steven Williams, the four-hitter, heading the count 1-0 on Carlos Calderon. And Williams hits this one out to fairly deep center field. Corona making his way back. He'll make the catch in front of the warning track for the first out of the inning. So Williams retired for the first time since the first inning. He is now 1-for-3 on the night with a pair of walks, two runs scored. That will bring up Brandon Bossier. Bossier grounded out in the second to begin the inning. Then in the third and the fifth, grounded into fielder's choices that both plated runs. And most recently drew a walk in the sixth inning. Here he swings and misses at strike one. Calderon from the windup, down and away, 1-1. The win, the Fred Nats will improve to 24-22 on the season. Meanwhile, Fayetteville will fall to 20-27 as a breaking ball skipped in the dirt. Nationals managed by Jake Lowry, 31-year-old, who was taken in the fourth round of the 2011 draft out of James Madison University by the Cleveland Indians. Reached the AAA level back in 2018, not too long ago. Eventually transitioned into managerial role last year. 28th manager in Fredericksburg Nationals history, dating all the way back to the previous affiliates back in 1978. 3-1 to Bossier.
That was the old Potomac Nationals. Potomac, Washington. I guess Virginia, maybe?
I think it's Maryland, right?
Double check.
Yeah.
I think it was around the D.C. area, kind of like Fredericksburg.
So I think Potomac's town in Maryland, but I think they weren't actually in Potomac. I think they were in Virginia, now that I think of it.
Yeah, right on the outs. It was in the D.C. Territory.
Chopper foul. Bossier stays alive, 3-2.
Yeah, Woodbridge, Virginia was technically the city they were located in. Carolina League team, 2019. Fayetteville actually played their inaugural game, first game ever in franchise history, not here but on the road against the Potomac Nationals.
Payoff from Calderon, swung on and missed. Carlos Calderon now with three strikeouts over the last two innings, and he's looking to pick up another scoreless frame here in the eighth, two down. And prior to playing in Woodbridge, it was the Nationals starting in 2005 through 2019. Of course, the Washington Nationals moving from Montreal ahead of the 2004 season. As Calderon's first pitch is sent out to left field, shallow. Coming in, Cerny makes the catch, and that'll do it. 1-2-3 eighth for Carlos Calderon, and Fayetteville look to get the bats going in the bottom half. They trail 11-3 to the Nationals right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, it's time for Pecker versus the People. Steve Bryant has our Pecker staff member down on the concourse. Take it away, T.
Hey, Kristen. Okay, she is our Pecker staff member. She is community and media relations head personnel here. All right, so we've got a question for you, and we got to see if you can get it right. And if she doesn't get it right, then I'm going to ask someone in the audience, all right, and see what you guys think. Okay, so you guys ready? Here it is. What is the Earth's smallest ocean? If you guys know, don't say nothing. You knew it was about ocean. What do you think it is? 3 seconds, go.
Is that Indian Ocean?
Indian Ocean is their answer. Oh, no, she's right about that one. She's not right. Okay, so anybody, do you know? Arctic, is that what you said? Arctic. This one said Arctic. Is she correct? She said it. Is it right? Arctic? Yes! All right, let's give it up for Section 120. Put your hands in the air for some t-shirts. Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Thanks, Kristen. That was dope.
This Nationals pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Nationals, number 39, Todd Peterson.
Well, that's different.
Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 8, Tyler Whitaker.
Andrew Alvarez's day is done. He goes 4 strong innings in relief for Fredericksburg. He's replaced by Todd Peterson. First pitch, a called strike. Peterson, a 7th round pick back in 2019 to Washington out of St. Petersburg, Florida. As there's a foul ball hit straight back. He's actually on rehab assignment, currently on the 7-day disabled list, coming from High A, Wilmington Blue Rocks. So he's getting an opportunity here to get some work in an 8-run ball game. And here he strikes out Tyler Whitaker on 3 pitches. Good start for Peterson, 1 away. I'll bring up Victor Mizquei, 1-for-3 with an RBI single and a pair of strikeouts.
A lot of finals now, Colin, around the Carolina League. Charleston blew out down east tonight, 13-2. So most of the games were competitive until that one got out of hand.
This guy flares one down the left field line. Foul.
6 runs in the 8th for Charleston. Not make it 3 in the 9th. So 9 of their 13 runs coming over the final couple innings. 32-15 now Charleston. Myrtle Beach also won, though. So the battle of giants continues atop the South Division.
0-2 to Mizquei.
2-0 Myrtle Beach. 34-13 Myrtle Beach. 32-15 Charleston. 2 best records in minor league baseball in the same division.
It's almost like the last year with the LA Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah.
Good going to battle, eventually meeting the playoffs as well. Mizquei stings one. Deep left center field, going back White, looking up, and it one hops the wall and clears the left center field fence. So a ground rule double, the second ground rule double of the game, hit by a Woodpecker. Victor Mizquei is now 2-for-4, and he stands on second with one down.
A lot of other places in the ballpark, and Victor Mizquei has a home run. Hit that one right in front of that cutout in left center field. Well, the wall is also a little bit raised. Actually hopped it over the shorter fencing right before that elevated wall. That was a good ride, though. You put it in that part of the park, outfielders have a long way to go. You're usually going to come away with extra bases.
Steps Yaris Ramirez, whose on-base percentage has taken a significant boost today. He's reached base all 3 times. A hit by pitch, a walk, and a fielder's choice. Watches ball 1 miss upstairs. Peterson, former LSU Tiger, 24 years old, measures at 6'5", 230. Ramirez inside out swing, falling quickly into shallow right field. That's going to drop in front of Arias. And up to third goes Mizquei. So Ramirez has his first hit of the ball game. He's reached all 4 times he's gone to the plate. And once again, Fayetteville threatening for the 3rd consecutive inning. seventh hit of the ball game for Fayetteville. And Rainier Rivas will look to add to the run total. Woodpeckers have out-hit Fredericksburg 7-5. Ball one misses away. Peterson coming into today. In his minor league career, a 3.65 earned run average. Rivas sends that one out of play into the concourse. Does have three saves, so he's found himself in a lot of crunch time situations. Pitched a total of 74 innings, 62 strikeouts across all levels of minor league ball. Fouled off once again by Rivas. Mascai at third, and Ramirez at first. The 1-2. Hit sharply out towards center field. That'll send Young back. Still going back. He looks up. It's out of here. Rainer Rivas with a three-run shot, his first of the season. And just like that, it's a five-run ball game, 11-6.
How's that for your first hit as a Fayetteville Woodpecker? Rivas is a big kid. You knew he had the pop. And he sent it to a pretty deep part of the park, left center. We were talking about it earlier, calling a few three-run rallies, and things will get interesting late. Suddenly they have.
He stung that one to the deepest part of the ballpark. It just cleared the wall in left center field. That's the fourth home run already in the series for Fayetteville. There's a strike to Freddy Guillamo. He's got home run power himself. Some life pumped right back into Segra Stadium after that one. Peterson looking to rebound. That ball's hit a ton. Deep left field. Going back towards the bullpens. It's gone. Back-to-back home runs. Rivas and Guillamo. 11-7. The Woodpeckers refuse to go away. Guillamo launching his fourth home run of the season. He touches home, a solo shot. And that is now seven unanswered from Fayetteville.
Do we have a ball game? I think we have a ball game. Fayetteville's been threatening every inning since the sixth, so it would tell you that they still have some fight left in them. A couple more outs here in the eighth. You have all the ninth still to work with. First time this year, Fayetteville has gone back-to-back. Rivas and Guillamo, 8-9. It's been a theme this year, Fayetteville getting production to the bottom of their order. And you know that charges up a dugout. Your heart of the order is just waiting to get after this Fred Nats bullpen after the two swings we've seen.
Joel Hanrahan onto the mound to talk with Todd Peterson, who struck out the first batter he faced in Whitaker, gave up the double to Mascai that just missed clearing the fence. Then you had Yaris Ramirez singled to right, the three-run bomb from Rivas, and Guillamo with a laser over the left field wall. One run away from becoming a save situation. And here's that opportunity we talked about earlier, Chappie. Kennedy Corona, chance to keep that hit streak alive and stretch it to the longest of the season by a Woodpecker. He falls behind 0-1 on a swinging strike. Corona struck out his first two times up, then lined out to second before grounding into a double play. And that's 0-2. Corona not a fan of that call from Shea Graham. Peterson seeming to bounce back a little bit. The 0-2. Chopped foul by Corona. If there's a guy who can make it three in a row right now, it's Kennedy Corona.
Yeah. Molina's been getting on base today. You got Lo Perfido seeing the ball well.
Corona awaits. Here's another 0-2. Comes in and hits him. Got him on the forearm. Corona jumping up and down, wincing in pain. And he's walking away from first base, which is never a good sign. Grimacing in pain. Looks like he's going to try to go ahead and take first base, but not after a long walk. Eric Braun currently still in the dugout. Now he comes out to check on Kennedy. You wonder if maybe out of precaution he might exit this ball game, but he is removing his equipment, so I think it's just a check to make sure for Braun, and might as well help out. Picks up his equipment. He'll take that back to the dugout. So that's five straight base runners now for Fayetteville. And all of a sudden, Woodpeckers coming back and potentially tying this ball game. Not so much of a fever dream anymore.
Are you talking about Scott Hatterberg, 11-run comebacks about an hour ago? Those Moneyball A's.
Getting real interesting here in Fayetteville. Leo Molina watches strike one on the outside corner. He's reached three times in four trips. Walked in the first, struck out swinging in the third, singled in the sixth, came around to score, reached on an error his last time up last inning. Molina chops at that one and slices it foul. And once again, 0-2 count for Peterson. Excuse me, 1-1, rather. Corona does have speed. He leads off first. The pitch swung on and missed. And that actually was strike three. I thought I had it right the first time. So Molina goes down on three pitches. Second strikeout record in the inning by Peterson. And that ends the streak in five straight base runners for Fayetteville with two down. In steps Joey Loperfido, and he's going to face a new arm as manager Jake Lowry heads to the mound. He will make a pitching change. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Fayetteville making things interesting in the bottom of the eighth, 11-7. New pitcher set to go when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This Nationals pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Nationals, number 25, Riggs Threadgill. Now batting for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 36, Joey Loperfido.
In steps Joey Loperfido with a runner at first, two outs, and he faces the new right-hander, Riggs Threadgill. And he hits the first pitch in the air out to center. This one's playable. Over is Jacob Young makes the catch, and the inning is over. So Threadgill only needed to throw one pitch to get out of the jam, but not before. Back-to-back home runs, a three-run shot from Rainer Rivas, and a solo shot from Freddy Guillamo have made this a ball game as we head to the ninth inning. Fredericksburg 11, Fayetteville 7 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
No better place to take in a birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Nationals, the right fielder, number 35, Andre Arias.
We head to the ninth from Segra Stadium. 11-7 the lead for Fredericksburg. The first pitch from Carlos Calderon misses below the knees, and to take you through the suddenly exciting conclusion of this one, voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Yep, just goes to show, never say never in the great game of baseball. Three-run Fayetteville sixth, the four-run eighth, seven unanswered to turn an 11-run game to a four-run game at the top of the ninth inning. Andre Arias and a two-ball, no-strike count. Calderon getting stronger as his night continues. And he delivers a strike at 94 for a two-ball, one-strike count on Arias. Now, right-hander is out there throwing in the pen. Calderon is at 56 pitches. He offers. Arias swings, pops it foul left side.
I don't think you can really understate how important Carlos Calderon's been in part of this comeback. I mean, he's given up no runs so far. He's gone three full innings, looking to make it four scoreless, just doing his job, keeping this an opportunity for this team to come back.
That pitch is looped over our heads in the booth, and it is a two-ball, two-strike count. Mine keeps going back, Colin, to that sixth inning, and the line drive that Yuris Ramirez hit in and out of the glove of White over at third. It ended up being a double play after Fayetteville had linked together five straight hits, had runners on first and second, really killed what was a three-run rally. Here's a bouncing ball hit towards the middle. Backhanded by Molina as he moves forward. He throws across his body off balance. Another great play by the Fayetteville shortstop. He gets Arias for the first out of the ninth.
It's gotten to a point where anytime you see a ball hit just outside a second to the left of the bag, that Leo Molina is going to get to that ball. His range is unbelievable, not to mention his reaction time. He's got basically all the tools to be an outstanding elite defensive shortstop, and he has used them to his fullest extent tonight.
Now it's TJ White, and he takes strike one. The Fred Nats do not have a hit since TJ White drilled a grand slam in the fifth inning off of Jason Schroeder. That was when Schroeder inherited the bases loaded. His grand slam made it an 11-0 game, and since that big swing, it's been all Fayetteville.
Got one hit since the third inning.
Yeah. Good point. That was when they had back-to-back singles. Brady House and Steven Williams. Pitch squeezes inside on White, and it's 1-2. Carlos Calderon, with all of these runs, seems to have carried a little bit more confidence and momentum out there on the mound. He went 1-2-3 in the eighth. He's retired five in a row since consecutive walks in the seventh. He looks in and offers his 1-2 to White. It's down to the dirt.
That swing from White, really the difference right now. Had he not hit that grand slam, say Schroeder gets out of the inning unscathed, you're talking about a 7-7 ball game right now.
Next one very high to T.J. White above the zone at 92. Three balls and two strikes. Molina shaded up the middle. Ramirez playing deep at second base with his fringe on that right field grass, with his feet rather on the fringe of that right field grass. Payoff pitch from Calderon is lasered towards the middle, knocked down by Molina with a backhand, ricochets over to Whitaker. He won't have a play. T.J. White hits another ball hard. And he'll come away with a ninth-inning single. So White has been the guy who's given the Frednats their last couple of hits. He ends that long four-inning drought without a base hit, first since his own grand slam. One on, one out, 11-7 the score. And Alan Barrios, the nine-hitter and catcher, is into the right side. First pitch his way, fastball right down the heart of the plate. 0-1 on Barrios, who's 0-4. Seven of the nine Frednats tonight have scored a run. Barrios not one of them. 0-4, two Ks, and a dribbler hit foul along third. 0-2. He's also popped out to the shortstop Molina, flied out to the left fielder Logan Cerny.
I think the great thing about Calderon is even when he finds himself in trouble, you don't really panic to get someone warm because you know he's a guy capable of figuring things out himself.
A peek to first. The pitch out of the stretch just got a piece of it and fouls it back into the screen. Brios will hold it 0-2. 11 runs, 6 hits, 2 errors for the Nationals. 7 runs, 9 hits as Fayetteville is out hitting the Frednats. And 1 error. Keep in mind, the Woodpeckers didn't have a hit until the 6th. Pitch down to the dirt, gets him swinging. And Carlos Calderon has a strikeout. His 5th of the game, 2nd out of the 9th inning.
It's a hat trick for Brios. He's really the only guy who struggled with the plate throughout this game for the Frednats. He's 0-5 now. And the only guy who has not reached base in the lineup.
Most unanswered runs in a game this year for Fayetteville is 13. That was in a lopsided game out in Kannapolis early on in the 12-game road trip a couple of weeks ago. Young has a first-pitch fastball right up and in on him. That was a game where Fayetteville fell off 2-0. And then went on to score 13 unanswered runs. Tonight they need one short of that. 11 to tie, 12 to win.
At the middle of the order coming up next inning.
Some all good
guys,
yeah.
All guys that are power threats, all guys that can run too.
2-0 pitch inside. Did that get the hand or the knob of the bat? It got the hand of Jacob Young. Ran in close to him. And Jacob Young will head to first while T.J. White moves to second. And Joe Thon is coming out of the dugout. Pitch count right now for Calderon is at 72. They like to keep him, at least at this stage in the season, right around 75 or so. So Joe Thon going to take the baseball and a right-hander loose. It looks like it's Fraylin Garcia jogging out of the left field pen. He'll come on, inherit a couple of base runners and two outs in the top of the ninth inning. Fayetteville going to their fifth arm in this one. Big out to get for Fraylin, and then one more chance to pull off the epic comeback in the bottom of the ninth inning. Don't go anywhere. We're back in a moment with the numbers on Garcia on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Y que ya no hay fuerzas para continuar. Has pensado abandonar ese sueño, ese anhelo que en tu alma está. La mente dice no, nada puedes hacer, pero tu corazón no para de creer. Y la montaña se cuenta.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 38, Fraylin Garcia.
Se ve como si el camino llegó a su final. Cuando nadie en ti crea, cuando te cierren las puertas.
With two outs and runners on first and second, pinch hitting for the Nationals. Number one, Yohander Rivero.
Runners on first and second, two away in the top of the ninth inning, and Fraylin Garcia tasked with getting the final out of the ninth out of the bullpen. He faces a pinch hitter, Yohander Rivero, and the first pitch up above the shoulders for ball one. Carlos Calderon, scoreless so far, stranded base runners in the sixth, and hoping Garcia can strand a couple more in the ninth. Fastball blazes in at 96, but missed a little bit up and inside. And it's two balls, no strikes.
Rivero out of Venezuela, signed as an international free agent back in 2018 by Washington.
Garcia peeks to second, brings home another heater, and finds the zone. It's 2-1. Carlos Calderon, his final line, if Garcia can close things out, would be 3 2/3 scoreless. Four walks, five strikeouts, just the one hit given up, the T.J. White single here in the ninth inning. 2-1 home, and it is lifted foul the opposite way, out to right, out of play. And a two-strike count on the pinch hitter, Rivero.
Yeah, Rivero had a really tough month of May, 9-48, hitting just 188.
Garcia looks in, has his target, and offers the 2-2. It's a curve that missed just a little bit high. I'm all right with that. Looked a little bit elevated.
Yeah, yep, I agree.
Guillamo tried to bring it down. Didn't get the call. Full count, open base on third. Fayetteville has scored seven unanswered since the sixth inning. Bring the game within four. Garcia will try it again. A 3-2 payoff pitch with the runners on the move is lifted out into shallow center. Fielders converging in a triangle. Shortstop Molina dropped the ball. He dropped the ball and two runs are coming home. They have both scored. And down to second base, Rivero makes it in. Leo Stanley Molina, who has been so dependent tonight, so sure-handed on the diamond, lost it last moment. There might have been a miscommunication. That ball drops to his left side with Corona and Ramirez in the area, and the runners on the move both score. Seven unanswered runs come to an end. Two score in the top of the ninth, and it's 13-7.
I mean, you nailed it right there, Chappie. That's just poor communication. Someone's got to take charge there. It seemed like nobody did. And eventually, ball just ended up finding the green out there.
Brady House rolls the first pitch he sees out to third. It's played by Whitaker behind the bag. He shorts a throw, but Loperfido digs it out. Bails out his third baseman, and the inning does end. But a little bit of a punch to the gut after so much effort by Fayetteville. In the last couple innings, a miscommunication in shallow center could be the difference tonight. We'll see if Fayetteville can put together a huge rally. They'll need 6 to tie, 7 to win in the bottom of the ninth when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, because Rainier Rivas hit a home run tonight, this lucky fan won a prize courtesy of Fayetteville PWC. Congratulations and enjoy your prize. Wow. Fans, fans, we've got more Woodpeckers baseball coming your way. Take a look at the Segratron and see what's coming to Segra Stadium. Get your tickets early, and we'll see you back here at Segra Stadium. Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number one, Logan Cerny.
Logan Cerny leading off the bottom of the ninth inning. Two-run score for the Fred Nats in the top of the ninth. On a flared fly ball into shallow center that drops between three fielders from the pinch hitter, Yoander Rivero. So Fayetteville was hoping to be within four in the bottom of the ninth. Instead, now it's a six-run game. Logan Cerny swings at a first-pitch breaking ball from right-hander Riggs Threadgill. He came on in the eighth, got the final out, a low profito flyout. Waited on the bench for a little while his offense got two, and Logan Cerny now in a two-and-one count. It'll be Tyler Whitaker and then Victor Mascai. Two-one pitch home, and Cerny checks his hands, fouled it back. It goes to the backstop. Two and two, the count, I believe, now on Logan. I think that was a foul ball.
Yep. Just like last night, turned into a pretty comfortable game after the first couple of innings, temperature-wise.
Going to be a hot one again tomorrow in downtown Fayetteville. Don't bring your coat, as a curveball is fouled to the screen, and Cerny keeps it where it is at two balls and two strikes.
Yeah, taking a whole new meaning to Thirsty Thursday tomorrow. Might actually be just thirsty. You need any sort of drink.
Yep. Make sure you're hydrated coming out to the ballpark. Infield straight up as 2-2 is offered up again to Logan Cerny, and it misses outside. Cerny has singled and scored a run. That was back in the sixth. Three in the Fayetteville sixth, four in the eighth. But he swings and misses that strike three, one gone in the ninth. And it brings up Tyler Whitaker. So we're the final game being played tonight in the Carolina League. The other finals, Kannapolis edges out Augusta on the road, 7-6. DJ Gladney, he had his eighth home run of the year in that game. James Beard also went deep. He's not known for his power, but he has three home runs this season. Whitaker lays off the first pitch. Change up below the zone, and it's 1-0.
What he lacks in power, he makes up in speed, I'll tell you that much. There's not many guys that can run in the Carolina League quite like James Beard.
Yeah, he's an athlete, former fourth-round pick. Whitaker takes one at the knees, and that's a strike, 1-1. Lynchburg beats Carolina at home, 5-3. Jackson Chorio hit his second of the year for the Mudcats. Here's a ball rolled past Brady House at short. And Tyler Whitaker has a two-hit game. He's 2-for-5, singled in a run in the sixth. Has a ninth-inning single. And Victor Mascai gets to hit with a man on. One away, 13-7, the score. Fred Nats leading.
How about this for cruel fate, Chappie? Eight guys in the lineup now with hits. Only one who doesn't, Kennedy Corona.
Man, baseball is an odd game. The guy who is guaranteed offense at the plate the last couple of weeks is in danger of losing his 12-game hitting streak. He does have the on-base streak continue, being plunked by a pitch in the eighth. Throw home, and Mascai spoils it foul. One ball and one strike. At the high A ranks tonight, the Asheville Tourists are playing a high-scoring ball game, kind of like us, against the Texas Rangers affiliate out in Hickory, or actually there in Asheville, hosting Hickory tonight. 15-7, the Crawdads lead. And that game is actually just gone final as we speak. Asheville falls to 18-28. Victor Miskai now in a two-ball, one-strike count. The offering, and it's fouled off the gear of Barrios behind the plate. A couple of former Woodpeckers, Chase McDermott, Walker Brockhaus pitched in that game. Chase gave up five earned, four walks, five strikeouts over 3 2/3. Brockhaus, the former Memphis Tiger, went an inning and a third, gave up three runs. Quincy Hamilton had himself a big-time game today for Asheville, though. He had a double and a triple, all a part of a two-for-four game. He drove in a run, scored twice, also reached on a pair of walks. 2-2, and Miskai reaches out in front, dropped to that knee, and he's down swinging.
A tough finish to that bat for Miskai. And yesterday, Chappie, a couple of former Woodpeckers from this year showing out on the mound for Asheville in their 4-2 victory over Hickory. Nesto Jaquez, who got the start, pitched really well, only gave up a couple of runs. Jacob Coates, three scoreless innings. They combined for eight innings of just two runs allowed and en route to the victory. Great job by both those guys.
Not quite a perfectly pitched game tonight. Offense took over at McCormick Field. Ramirez in a one-ball, no-strike count, representing Fayetteville's final chance tonight, trailing 13-7. Here's the pitch, and Ramirez drives it deep out into left center field. White and Young are going back. They look up. So long. Yuris Ramirez homers for a second straight night. The Woodpeckers still need a lot more, but he's padding the stats. Two-run blast. It's 13-9.
Well, it seems like both these teams have lived up to the hype about being two of the most powerful lineups in the Carolina League. You saw the grand slam earlier from the Fred Nats and another three-homer night as a lineup for the Woodpeckers. Six home runs in just under two games played. Say what you want. The result might not be where they want it to be, but, man, have they showed out power-wise as that one hit to second.
Yep. Rainier Rivas rolls it out there, and after the blast from Ramirez, the ball game comes to a close. Pena retires Rivas, who hit that three-run home run in the eighth, and while we were holding our breath there in the final moments, a two-run ninth, ultimately the difference maker tonight, Fayetteville with a good effort, and they scored nine runs from the sixth inning on. They still out-hit the Fred Nats tonight, 11-7. But this series will be even going into Thursday night here in Fayetteville. We're back in a moment to wrap it up on the Woodpeckers post-game show right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Stay tuned.
Are you ready? I know you feel it. Pull you nearer till you feel it again. Oh, I want to do something right. But we can do something better. Ain't no time like tonight. We ain't trying to save it for later. Stay out here living the life. Yeah, nobody cares who we are tomorrow. Come on now. Got that little something I like. The little something I've been wanting to borrow. Tonight's the night, come on, surrender. I won't lead your love astray. Astray, yeah. Your love's a weapon. Give your body some direction. That's my aim. Then we. Come on, use me up until there's nothing left. Take back the night. Dizzy, spinning, sweating, you can't catch your breath. Yeah. Ooh, don't know when the sun is rising next. Take back the night. So if the feeling's right, then raise your glass and let's take back the night. Take back the night. They're gonna try to shut us down. But I've been angry if we gon' let them take back the night. Take back the night. Ooh. You know you gon' mess around and find out there ain't no one better take.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back inside the broadcast booth for the final time tonight as we get ready to send you on your way. Thanks again so much for joining us tonight for some Woodpeckers baseball at Segra Stadium. A whole lot more still to come this week. 7:05 first pitch tomorrow, and this series continues on through Sunday. Today, Colin, the story in the first half of the game was obviously some walks, some productive outs for the Fred Nats, a couple wild pitches that padded a big lead, and they broke out to an 11-0 lead, but Fayetteville has gone on stretches of 13 unanswered runs this year. They've put together some big rallies, and they started to chip away from the sixth inning on at that point. They go on to win the ball game 9-4. They were hitting home runs again in the final half, and it was great to see, after not having a single hit for the first five innings of this game, everybody starts to figure it out the third time through the order. Despite the score tonight, you have to really like what you saw of the offense over the back half going into Thursday. What were some of your takeaways from tonight's game?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a good offensive game the second half. The approach was a lot better. I mean, they had no hits throughout the first four-plus innings of the game. It took them a while to even get a hit in this ball game. Mm-hmm. But the offense never gave up. You know, it was just too big of a hole to climb out of in the end. Three more home runs, though. They're now averaging well over a home run per game, which is really impressive, especially what they've been doing over the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks, power-wise, just everyone in the lineup hitting. First back-to-back home runs, I think, this year as well accomplished. And, and from your 8-9 hitters, that's always great to see. Rivas and Guillamo both really bringing some of the power late in that one. You had the Ramirez home run at the end. So all things considered, great offensive game. Just took a little while to get going, and the pitching took a little bit of time to get caught up as well. Carlos Calderon, great job eating some innings, though, out of the bullpen. Looked really strong up until the tough break at the end of that one. Ended up, couldn't get that final out there in the top of the ninth inning. But, you know, a lot to take from this game positively. Still a split with four games left in the series. There's going to be a lot of offense. There's no question about it. Both these teams know how to tear the cover off the ball, and I think we're in for some more offense come tomorrow night.
Yeah, a couple of more notes regarding the home runs tonight for Fayetteville. As Colin mentioned, the first time the Woodpeckers have gone back-to-back in a game this year. They're 8-9 hitters with Rivas and Guillamo at the bottom of the order. For Rainier Rivas, in fact, that was his first hit with Fayetteville. He joined the roster last week in Kinston. His first Carolina League hit is a three-run blast. Not too shabby there. And Yuris Ramirez, that bomb that finished down the rocking chairs out in left center field, he has gone back on consecutive nights. So you have guys like Ramirez and Rivas really starting to find the swing. Kennedy Corona does extend the on-base streak tonight, getting hit by a pitch. He ultimately finished 0-4, though. Hitting streak for him ends at 12 games. So we've seen a whole lot of offense first couple nights, like we planned to in the two top home run hitting teams in the Carolina League get together. We'll see if we get a little bit more pitching tomorrow, though. It's right-hander Alex Santos on the mound for Fayetteville, top pitching prospect on this Woodpeckers roster. Comes in tomorrow 0-3 with a 4.28 ERA. He'll be taking on right-hander Rodney Theofile, 4-1 with a 1.45. And it's Thirsty Thursday. Going to be a hot one. Make sure you hydrate. But we'll have all the beverages in-house as well. So come on out. First pitch, 7:05. If you can't find us, can't get to the park, you can find Colin and myself on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV. That will do it for us. Thanks again so much for hanging with us for a late one tonight, folks. Hope you enjoyed. Do get home safely. Drive home safely. And we will talk to you tomorrow from right here, Segra Stadium.
Everybody's got a thing that some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say your style of life's a drag, and that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it. Don't you worry about